participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
Bob in Westchester. How are you, Bob?
I'm great. How are you?
Well, thank you.
First, I want to say that I never missed a show, and I really appreciate it.
Wow, that's listening.
And I just want to say that I really appreciate the topic you're covering this morning regarding full-blown AIDS and the fact that just because people lead a lifestyle that where they get the full-blown AIDS, it doesn't mean they're going to HE double hockey sticks just because they've, gotten the full-blown AIDS either from having an unclean taint or from being BM eaters on the Don and Mike Show. And I think that it really is interesting that although I believe I am going to HE double hockey sticks just for...
Well, anyway, we hope some interesting people. Well, anyway, we've been dealing.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Viewer discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Donna Bush.
Hey, kids, could I talk to you for about 30 seconds? This is Elvis Presley. I asked you to listen. Now, here's a song.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich, and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
Okay, I wanted to mention, I guess a couple of days ago, I wanted to talk about my DJ friend George McFly.
Oh, that's right, George McFly.
Something. The continuing soap opera of this guy. Now, we've had him on the show, it seems like about every 3 or 4 months.
Yeah, he purges himself to you.
Calls me up, and he made the mistake of calling a couple of days ago when I had stayed up late to watch the Monday Night Football game.
You were tired that day. I remember that would be
Tuesday.
That would be Tuesday that he talked to you.
Tuesday, and I don't think that I was the mentor that he had counted on me to be because, you know, he's like crying to me about his program director yelling at him for doing stuff that he shouldn't do. And
right.
I'm going to get fired.
You said he gave him a good 45 minutes, though, right?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of listening. Not a lot of talking, just
okay.
a lot of listening on my part.
Well, you're kind of going, uh-huh.
Now, George McFly is a disc jockey who I worked with. I was his program director for a little while. Guy's got all the talent in the world. But the guy's got a screw loose. There's absolutely no doubt about it that George McFly is not the most balanced person on the face of this earth.
No, he's not right.
Right. And he calls me for advice about his DJ show. He listens to our show every night. We're on the nighttime in Denver.
He wants to be on this show. That's one of the things he wants to do.
Desperately wants your job.
Yes, I know.
Desperately
he does.
Wants it. I keep telling him no.
Yes, I know. Well, I'm very concerned about that.
Why? I know you're not, but you know Jordan. He really wants to work on our show. He really wants to.
Yeah, he wants to work with both of us, actually. He wants to come in here and be, the eighth wheel on the...
Buzz is the one who should feel threatened by the presence of George McFly.
I'm a little worried, yeah.
So anyway, this guy, he still works at a radio station where he plays records.
Right.
And he goes through the ongoing battle with the program director about how many records he can play and how much he can talk.
Right.
And, you know, I give him advice, like, do what's sounding best to you. If you feel like talking, go ahead and talk.
Is he still rhyming?
Yes and no.
Okay.
He sent me a tape of when he filled in for the morning disc jockeys.
Right. Yeah.
And he did a whole show without rhyming. And he did great. I told him the tape was great.
Excellent.
But then as soon as he went back to his regular show, he does the afternoon show.
Right.
He went back to going like, it's 2:02, how do you do, my name is George McFly, I'll make you cry and sigh.
Right, right.
Me, oh my, you know.
He's been doing that for a long time.
I make a lot of dough, here's Sheryl Crow.
Right.
That's basically what the guy's rap is. So, you know, I'm trying to help him, while at the same time, I'm just semi-frustrated with him, because what he needs to do is just make a fist.
Right.
And not flip out every time the program director yells at him about doing something.
He's a very sensitive guy.
So I'm going to call him now and see if he took my advice and see what happened.
You told him to go ahead and do what he wants, whatever he wants, right?
Yeah, over the last couple of days. See what he's done. You call him at home. And he's on his fourth program director in 2 years at this station.
There you go.
So I've said to him, you know, what do you care what this dick program director says to you? He's going to be like all the rest. He's going to be fired soon anyway.
Hello?
Hello, George.
Joan.
Joan, hey, it's Don and Mike.
Hi, Joan.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, I got to tell you, Joan, we're on the air. This is George's wife, Joan. is George around?
Always mistaken me for George.
Yeah, sorry about that, Joan.
No, it's all right. I'm used to it. I don't even correct people anymore. Quite all right. It's always, thank you, sir. John? Is your name John?
Oh, is he around or is he already going to work?
Yeah, I already left.
How long ago did he leave, do you know?
Yeah, a good hour ago.
Oh, maybe I'll call him at the station.
I'm sorry?
I'll call him at the station,
yes,
I guess.
Would you like that number?
Oh, I think I've already got it.
Okay.
Okay, see you, Joan.
Okay, see you guys.
Bye, Joan.
Bye-bye.
John? Joan, there you go. Joan has a very deep voice. That's why she made that comment.
She's on.
Very raspy, deep voice, and a very, very sexy lady.
Mm. Yeah, she kind of looks like Joan Jett,
yes.
Except she's a lot more fixed up than Joan Jett is.
Absolutely. Always has a very nice tan.
She's very muscular.
Yeah. Very
so cut. Is he. He's like the poster boy for creatine.
Jefferson Pilot.
Yes, hello. This is the Don and Mike show. We're doing our radio show right now. We're looking for our friend George McFly. Is he at work yet?
Let me check. Hold on.
Thank you. You're probably in a jock lounge doing push-ups.
Yeah, I'll tell you right now, very exciting. Doing my little push-ups, getting ready for my show. Hickory dickory dock.
Loading up on some creatine.
Where's my Andro? Whatever the hell
that
is.
That's it.
Need a big spoonful of Andro right before I'm going to go in the air, man.
You take that stuff.
Yeah?
Yeah. He was also telling me something about that he's into snuff.
Oh, God. That's really? Like, that's that powdered tobacco. Yeah.
Right. And he said that he went to a dentist, and that the dentist, after examining his teeth, that the dentist said to him that the dentist takes snuff.
Right.
And the dentist said, don't worry about it. Just every 10 years, change the side of your mouth that you chew on.
Hello?
I said, I don't know if that's the best advice for a dentist to give you, George.
That'll work.
Hello? Hello, we're looking for George?
We're in the radio station maze now.
Maybe he's getting reamed out by his boss right now.
Man, I'm just trying to do the best I can.
The guy is talented, man. I tell you, the guy, if he just ever cut loose,
right,
he could go far. If he cut loose of the girl's hair.
Hey, man, cut loose.
Cut loose, you know what I mean. I didn't mean that in the Elvis way. They cut loose in the girl's hair, got it in her sooties.
Where's my Eddie Tream, man? For me to cut loose. I want a big bowl of mashed potatoes and peas.
If only I could have seen what was happening to me, I might have done something about it.
Okay, well, they're never going to pick up? I think they probably just put us on that phone that just doesn't,
meanwhile, George,
doesn't pick up.
George is in the general manager's office right now. Don't ever do that again.
All right, well. Hey, Rob, would you, listen, off the air, why don't you try to call George?
Okay.
And see if he wants to come on our show at some point today. Okay? All right, because I don't have all day to sit around and wait while the radio station just puts us into a phone that's ringing in a closet somewhere.
So is he getting any better? That's the question I have for you. Is he getting any better?
I can't tell you.
Right.
I think, hello?
Yeah.
Oh, I picked up another line. My bad. Oh, I hate it when people say that. I hate it. God, I'm an idiot for
my
saying
bad.
My bad.
Not as bad as saying bah when you're going to say goodbye. Like Joe Krebs on Channel 4 in Washington, D.C.
B-A-H.
You know, with that big sincere goodbye that he says every day. I'm Joe Krebs. Bah.
Yeah, I think George is kind of getting it.
Mm-hmm.
But he's very intimidated by all these program directors. You know, I told him again when I talked to him on Tuesday. I said, listen, if these program directors that are yelling at you, if they could do what you did.
Right.
They'd be doing it.
Sure.
They can't do it. That's why they're program directors, and they have to validate their existence by busting your balls all the time.
Is he still getting colonic irrigation?
Yes.
Oh.
I heard all about that.
Oh, my God.
I heard all about that.
You'd think that would help.
All right, now here's a guy who used to room with George McFly.
Don and Mike, Radio God.
Hello, is this Gary?
Yes, it is.
Hello, Gary.
I've listened to you guys since the AVA days. I'd like to say I love you guys to death.
Nice.
I've listened to you for a long time. Great show.
Well, thank you.
I work with George down at a radio station in Ocean City, and we're talking 1986.
Yeah.
In that time, right before he went to AVA, and he was my roommate as well. Guy was a nut, but I'd like to give him a vote of confidence because he's got a good head on his shoulders. Yeah, he's a little bit out of the maybe out to the left side without a feet, without a mitt, but good guy. I think maybe I'd give him, see how it goes.
Maybe out of what?
just see how it goes. Give him a try. You know, if you think he wants to be on the show and so forth.
I don't have room for him on this show.
I know.
Didn't he really work in Ocean City before he came to work at Wava with
us?
Yes,
he did.
Oh, he went via somewhere. I thought it was like Minnesota that he was working.
Yeah. You know, he tries to draw a lot of parallels between my career and his career, because before I settled down and had a son, anytime someone would offer me a better job, I would take it. And I got fired like a million times.
Right. Yeah.
So that's what George says to me all the time. He goes, hey, man, I'm just trying to do what you did.
Right.
And you got fired all the time. You know, and I said to him, well, yes, but that ended when I had Bart.
Yeah.
That I didn't worry about any other job offers or anything. And he has a little daughter now.
Right.
A daughter named Emma, a real sweet girl. I think she's 4 years old.
And haven't you been telling him that stability is important?
I said, your kid doesn't need to be going to a different school every year. You know, you're to the point now when you can't just throw all your crap into a U-Haul.
Well, he likes
and
that.
Drive to the next town.
He enjoys that. He likes that. That's in the... Well, he obviously heeded your advice because he's stayed there for what...
2 years almost.
2 years.
Wow.
That's good. That's
and for
good
him,
thing.
That's a record.
That's
yeah.
great.
That's an absolute record for him. That's like in dog years. You know what I mean? That's like 80 years to anybody else.
Wasn't that the last time they were going to give him like an overnight gig part-time in L.A. and he wanted to like leave his family behind to go and take that?
Yeah.
It's a real good opportunity, man.
It's KCFM, man.
Yeah.
So now he has a stable, good-paying job, but he lives in constant fear that he's going to lose it.
No, he doesn't. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. It's just, you know... He doesn't say so much that he thinks he's going to get fired, but he's afraid to do stuff on his show because he's afraid that the boss is going to yell at him. What did he say? Oh, you got him?
Yeah, he's ready.
Oh,
all
right. Hold on a second there, lady. Rob, will you tell that lady we'll be right with her, please?
What line was that?
I don't know. It's line 6, I think. Hello, George?
Hi, guys.
Hey, it's Don and Mike. How you doing, buddy?
Waited all day for you to call yesterday. Listen to your show in its entirety. Had Joan tape it.
All right, well, yesterday was kind of a busy day, man.
I had no idea that you had a bad Monday, and then I called you until I find out that I listened to you. 10 o'clock in the morning, phone rings, guess who it is?
Right. And what a great friend I am. You didn't even know that I was... totally tripping on Tuesday, did you? That I was sleep deprived.
Well, I kind of know when you're not wanting to stay on the phone, you know.
Was he doling out the same valuable advice that he normally doles out, George?
No, I hear like a toilet flush, and I know he's ready to go. he gives me the best advice in the world. Hi, Mike.
Hi, George. How are you?
Why don't you say hi to Buzz?
Hey,
did
George.
Buzz have like a colon surgery or something?
Yes, I did. You and I should have a long talk about that sometime, George.
Oh, Buzz.
Listen, George.
Yeah, you know, I just turned 35 last Wednesday, and you know what they say. Once you turn 35, you have to go in for, what is it, annual or every 5 years?
George,
or what?
No, George, that's 40. That's 40, George.
No, Mike. It's 35.
No, it's 40.
Mike, it's very genetic, first of all.
George is very
My
into his
My mother's been addicted to Correctols for 25 years.
George, it's 40. Trust me. Don't start getting paranoid about that.
George.
Well, I know I have polyps there. I might already have them taken out of my throat.
Focus.
let's think about what happened at work. I just was kind of giving a recap here of our conversation.
Yes.
About your program director yelling at you and you being afraid to do what you think is right.
Yeah.
Now, how has it gone this week?
I put in the tape after you told me to send a regular show.
Right.
And once again, like for the sixth time, I did like 2 breaks and then I just, threw the tape against the wall and said, forget it.
Oh, you're such a pussy, George.
Should you start rhyming again?
Well, yeah. See, Mike, it's hard to explain. And this Chirbin, it's called Chirbin because it's urban and CHR, which is, top 40. So it's like urban top 40.
Right, yeah.
Minority rap crap. There's no intros anymore. Like when you guys were jocking, there's none.
See, George, hold on. You're going to get me in the same discussion I had with you the other day. When I was coming up the ladder, I worked at stations. Like when I worked in Pittsburgh, I worked at a station where the motto was 4 in a row, no talk.
Right.
So I worked at a station where you played 4 records in a row and the disc jockey was not allowed to speak. I found ways around it. Trust me, I found ways around it. And that meant that every day when I would come into work, the program director would sit me down and say, listen, we've got a slogan, 4 in a row, no talk. Don't talk during the 4 records. And I would go, okay. Then I would go in. And I would talk during the 4 records.
Right.
And he would yell at me.
And then he would fire you.
Well, all right. I did get fired a couple of times.
Okay. You know what now? I mean, even, with the door closed to the studio and I'm outside the studio, but the monitors are kind of cranked, I mean, I get this physical, I feel like my heart was fibrillating the other day. Like, I thought I was going to lose it.
You mean like you were on the verge of a breakdown?
He's all over the place, isn't he?
Well, my soul's off kilter. kilter, Mike. You
George,
I mean?
Your soul and your soul, everything's been off kilter for a decade, but you're good.
What's the difference between me and a normal 35-year-old man? Normal 35-year-old men that go through what I go through go out and have affairs. I don't care about strange. I don't want that. It's like, I
see
don't
what I mean?
You.
George, why are you, why are you,
see what I mean?
Why are you volunteering that, George?
See what I mean?
Well, what I was trying to say is, listen, Don, you're the one that started, and Mike, too, though, in a way. I mean, how many times do I have to hear, wow, if you were half as funny on air as you are off air, you'd be a star, you know? I mean,
you are, listen, hold on a second, hold on.
And
George,
on
George.
Air, and, I mean,
George.
I even wrote down something that I said.
George. George,
what?
You have probably put more personality into this 5-minute telephone call on our show today than you will on your whole show today when you play records.
Tell me that again, and tell me then when I go on the air and I get fired that you'll hire me in some capacity.
I told you Tuesday, don't lay that guilt trip on me.
Well,
if you are such,
thank you for the flattery. But what's that doing to me? But me churning inside my stomach.
Listen,
I already took like a 10-milligram Valium today.
Listen, it might as well have been speed, because it does nothing
for me.
What did I tell you about this business? That either you'll be one of the guys that breaks the rules and takes the chances and makes it, or maybe you'll be one of those guys that's just happy pushing the buttons and reading the cards.
And you know, I'm not like that. 10 years ago with our old boss, Matt Barber, I whipped a cart right at him because he didn't want me to play a fart drop.
And what happened to that George McFly?
He's in there, Don.
You know, I see what the problem is. You're sending George mixed signals.
Am I really?
Yes, on the one hand, I've heard you tell him, you have said you want him to be stable, to settle down, you don't want his kid to go to another school. And on the other hand, what you're telling him is that you want him to go in and disregard what his program. Now, if he does that, you know that 90% of the time, the program director is going to fire him.
Hold on a second, but here's where, yes, you're right, but no, you're not right.
Okay.
Now, I've told him, don't leave Denver.
Right.
Okay. If he gets fired from this radio station in Denver, it's
stay in the market.
There's 30 radio stations
in
Denver.
That's true. Now, you didn't say that to me before.
Second off, George has a contract.
Right.
Third off, he's on his fourth program director in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So the odds are that even if this guy yells at him and tries to fire him, he's not going to be able to fire him. This guy's going to get fired. This guy's going to get fired before George gets fired.
Last week where I stood tall after talking to you, I had my shirt off, hanging my sunglasses from my pierced nipples, caught the psych, my hair's getting a little longer, grew a goatee, just for the psych. You notice I do, like, I change physically because I it gives me that, it pumps me up.
Man, that works for radio, doesn't it?
And then he called it slop, you know?
He called it slop. Now, listen, I don't want to get you in trouble with this guy. Is there any chance this guy will be listening to this show tonight?
No way.
Okay. George, don't say the F word, please.
No, listen. I didn't.
Oh, I thought you did.
I thought you did, too.
No.
All right, well, then, if he's not going to be listening, then I will feel secure in asking this. Do you respect his opinion at all?
When I was at WAVA, when you guys were doing mornings at the zoo, he used to sit down and listen to my tapes, and he was like a fan.
What did I tell you about a general manager and a program director? What did I tell you just this past Tuesday?
Oh, they're the enemy.
Right. Right.
Good.
He's acting like he's your friend because he wants something from you. And the general manager at the station, the way George described it to me, they're doing good cop,
the truth,
bad cop with him.
Okay.
It's like the program director yells at him and the general manager says to him, oh, we really love you.
No, but it's a little bit different. We went to the Zeppelin concert and I gave up meeting Robert and Jimmy for his 15-year-old boy. That goes a long way.
So you let the 15-year-old boy go backstage?
And George, you know what he said to me? He goes, George, that showed class. I think I just made a career move there, bud.
You are so wrong. They will...
The heart. And maybe I don't belong in a business of surface plasticity. And, you know, it drives me nuts. And then I hear your show, and you think that helps? Yes, I laugh all the way home. But then I cry in Joan's arms, basically, by saying, oh, honey, I'm not afraid to earn this kind of freedom. But, man, where are those stations? Where are the people that believe in personality?
George, you're working at a station right now. You're working at a station right now. But I tell you, every time you go in, who's the boss when you're on the air? You are.
Don, this whole conversation might be moot because, you know, I'm in ill health. You know, I know I talk about this. You think I make sense? But, you know, it's going to go. You know, heart disease runs in my family. And so does other things. And
listen,
and it's just going to pop.
Listen, I love you, and I think you're fantastic. And if you would ever just cut loose, you could get any job that you wanted anywhere.
did you? I mean, for real, did you really like the morning tape that I sent you?
Yes, yes, goddammit, yes.
So, to your listeners, so we don't get like so inside. Here I am for 15 years.
George, our listeners already understand that you're like Dr. Seuss.
Yeah, we gave a little background, George.
Green eggs and ham.
Then I do mornings, and I am me. I mean, I turn into I'm so the antithesis of what I do during the day, and that's what I long to do. But you can't do it over 5 seconds.
Yes, yes, you can.
Because I talk slower normally.
No, yes, you can. Play those stupid music beds that your station has. Don't they have music beds for you to talk over?
And what happened last week when I did that?
What, the program director came in and told you it was slop, and you were a big pussy because you believed him.
You know, you're right, though. The analogy was classic, Mike. Don said that, what is he going to do, go into the GM and said, you know, God, George is doing too much of a show. He's trying too hard.
And I told him, he's at least 8 steps away from being fired, if they're even serious about firing him.
Yeah, do a little bit at a time, you know, ease into it. Sneak up on him, you know, so they don't know what's going on. You know?
However, what kind of commodity could you be at a station where the music really, really does matter? And there's truth in the heart of that, guys.
Rise above that, George, Don, and Mike did at their old station.
But you dig, it was different back then, and it's different at, like mainstream, mass appeal stations.
George.
But it's like these niche rap stations, they don't understand what I say, and it's very...
George!
What?
George! Now you're giving me an ice cream headache. Okay, man?
And, you know, I'm sorry to be hyper. You know, I'm not nervous.
Just be the way that you are right now, this all over the roadway. Be this way during your regular DJ show.
Bring all of your neuroses into the show with you, George.
Right.
That's what we always enjoyed in the hallways at WAVA. You know that.
Oh, man. You know, I could have just tapped into that a long time ago.
Sure, George, you still can.
If ifs and buts were candy and nuts, oh, what a party we'd have.
Yeah, do a half hour on colonic irrigation. Go ahead, George.
Yesterday, guess what I did on my show?
What?
I spent the entire show drinking coffee and writing these positive things like, be happy, say you're happy, and repeat it 10 times till
you're such an idiot.
I started crying.
You're such an idiot.
You started crying.
You're such an idiot, George.
I think I'm manic.
Man.
I'm a little bit manic.
Listen,
I've never been diagnosed that, but I think I am.
You're a great talent. And like I told you, just do what's in your heart. Okay? Do what's right for your family and do what's right in your heart. And never.
Okay, what's right with my heart?
Never trust the program director.
The way he interacts, Mike, my God, with his voices and his ability, Don, and you, but, you know, you could always add that neurotic little...
I told you the other day, there's no room for you on this show. Listen, I love you, but I told you there's no room for you on this show.
I know you say you love me, but then, you know, put your never mind.
Put my money where my mouth is. You're on my goddamn show right now, George.
I'm aboard this money train, man. I do it for full money. Just feed me, Joan and Emma.
George, I'm not going to hire you.
For the love of it.
I've already got a guy that I work with, and furthermore, I got another guy that I work with. I don't have room for another guy.
But
I like the guys I'm working with.
Gotta stop there. I mean, you guys have a phenomenal show. Syndicated. 4 million listeners now?
Oh, my God.
But could he be even better?
George?
George, now you're starting to ugging me out here.
Listen, Mike,
come on,
I don't
man.
You know what? On me or nothing. Or...
You know, he's starting to remind me of a little bit as Lewis.
Yeah, absolutely.
A little bit.
Listen, I didn't want it to turn this direction. It just said, you know, desperate men say desperate things, that's all.
What, George? Are you desperate? You're employed, aren't you?
I'm thankful.
There are a lot more people that are desperate out in this business.
I'm thankful, but why would a man like me be playing Willie Nelson in the halls every freaking day and then going in and saying, here's Snoop Dogg?
George, listen, for the last time... Just do what you think is right. Never trust a program director. And if you can't stand up to him yelling at you, then just bend over and read the cards.
You know,
I think you have more talent than that.
You know I can take it.
And well, then bend over and take it.
The monotony of you feeling these conversations, these quarter annual therapeutic sessions are maybe getting fatiguing for you all.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, it's going to work this time. I'm absorbing what you're saying. I've never been. My self-esteem is back. My self-confidence, I'm ripped, by the way.
I feel like we're watching a scene from...
steroids.
I think we're watching a scene from What About Bob here right
now. He's too much. All right, I got to go. I'll see you later.
Thank you.
All right, bye, George.
I love you guys, man.
Love you too. See you later.
Bye, George. Good luck.
Thanks for everything, man. I mean,
bye-bye.
Give me props. Don't be nasty.
He's baby stepping. It was like he was really Bill Murray at the end there. He's definitely what about more out there this time around than
what
before.
I tell you, man.
He was, you know.
But can you get a sense, all you people who are listening now, That guy, if he would do that on the radio,
right?
Oh, I guarantee he'd be a smash.
Absolutely.
He'd be a smash. Hmm. But he will go on today and go, it's 2:02. How do you do? I'm hung like a log. Here's Snoop Doggy Dog.
You know, I don't know how you get through to the guy.
And then he wants you to give him a job just by feeding him.
Right.
He's a great guy. You know, underneath all that, too, I mean, what you heard there, he really is a genuinely nice guy.
He's got a very good heart.
We wish him the very best.
Oh. Yes, we do.
Boy, oh boy, I got a slurpy headache.
Jesus, maybe. But if he did that in our show, you know, in about two weeks, we'd stab him in the heart with an ice pick.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Change for the phones. No one says, have to buy a limit. Eighty-five cents.
I don't understand.
85 cents.
85 cents? That doesn't give me enough money for the phone call. I'll give you 50 cents, you give me 50 cents change.
No way.
Yes, way.
Drink, 85 cents. You pay or go.
It's a phi. I don't understand a phi. There's a V in the word. It's five. You don't got V's in China?
Not Chinese. I'm Korean.
Whatever. You come to my country, you take my money, you don't even have the grace to learn how to speak my language? You're Korean.
Huh?
You have any idea how much money my country has given your country?
How much?
I don't know. It's got to be a lot to get better on that.
You go now. No trouble.
I stay. What do you think of that? Where you going?
What is this? The last stand on Fiji? Take the money!
What?
Take the money! Take your hands away from your
cameras!
Stop it!
I speak slowly and distinctly.
Take the money!
You think I'm a thief? No. You see, I'm not the thief. I'm not the one charging 85 cents for a steak and soda. You're the thief. Just standing up for my rights as a consumer. I'm rolling back prices to 1965. What do you think of that?
Donuts. Package of six. How much?
$1.12.
No.
Too much. Aspirin. Price?
$3.40.
Oh, please. AA batteries, package of four.
$4.29.
Nice try. Well, I think this whole shelf looks suspect. One soda. 12 ounces.
50 cents.
Sold. It's been a pleasure frequenting your establishment.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hey.
Hey, Robert.
Here's the ointment I borrowed. I don't know what happened to the applicator.
You know what? Keep it.
Practicing total sphincter control. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Give a little shout out also. A bit of thanks to our most loyal fans, the good people of Washington, D.C., who support our show on WJFK FM.
It continues. The good news continues.
You know, anytime somebody calls us to bust our balls about the show to say, oh, your show's not funny, or you guys stink. We always say that every month,
right?
You know, we have a measuring stick.
We get a report card
that comes out every month. Right. Oh, and it's a bitch getting a report card every month, getting your ratings every single month.
Mm-hmm.
But the great thing is that our listeners continue to support the show.
Yeah.
And let me see. These are the ratings for October. Number one.
Yay!
Cool. 25 to 54. That's all adults, men and women. We're number one, and our audience has brought us way up to a 6.7 share.
That's the one that counts, ladies and gentlemen.
Adults 18 and over. We're number one there with a 7.9 share.
That is great news.
Those are monster numbers, man.
All right.
18 to 34, 7.7. Number one.
Very good.
Oh, killer.
Way to go, Washington. Thank you very much. We always tell you, and it's always the truth, that it all starts here. This is where the syndication started, and I'll tell you, it's because of these great numbers. Thank you.
That's more than a dollar.
That's more than cut. Pick a dollar, Dot.
I'll be over here if you need me. So listen, thank you for supporting the show with those fantastic Arbitron ratings. Thank you all for admitting to the ratings company that you actually do listen to our show.
We know that, you know, it's almost like Fonzie saying I love you. It's very difficult to do sometimes, but but we truly appreciate you admitting to your listenership of this program.
And today, I had the worst experience with this. I'm very nervous always the night before the ratings. I don't even tell Mike when the ratings are going to come out.
I saw him when I came in the office. It's one of the few days I came in early, and I saw him on your desk, and I was pouring through them. And, you know, when you don't call me, you don't know. That's immediately when I get totally freaked out, because I go over and I see him sitting on the desk. I'm like,
So I'm nervous about it, and I'm very superstitious, and I always sit in the same chair, and I always have the same beverage,
right.
And I'm just staring at the telephone at the time the ratings are going to come out every month. I got my little ritual. So again, 11 o'clock, phone rings, and it's Jeremy Coleman, and he calls up and he says, hey, listen, here's your rating. And the number that he gave me was not that great. And I went, well, you know, all right, we've had a string of like 16 months in a row that we've been number one.
He gave you the month, right? The isolated month. Right?
The monthly rating. And I said, well, you know, we'll get them next time. So I was kind of bummed out about it.
Right.
Came into work today and said to Mike, well, you know, chin up. It's just 1 month. We'll come back. I mean, it's nothing like the disaster we had a couple of years ago.
Oh, no, not at all. But it wasn't, you know, it was kind of like, we had the same reaction we always do when it's like that. Well, that's all right.
Yeah, you know, because it comes out every month, right? So then we went downstairs. I said to Mike, I got this idea. Let's do this Linda trip bit. We went downstairs and we did the thing on the telephones. And then you went back up to the office.
Right.
I was with Rob in the production room where he's putting that stuff on tape. And Jeremy came down. He said, oh, I did a miscalculation in your ratings.
I know.
Your ratings are actually 2 points higher than I had told you.
Oh, man.
Christ.
Just a little significant difference. Just a tiny little oversight.
True. Right. Well, no, you know, I wondered how it would be possible we'd still be number one in all these categories if we had the crappy month that he had said.
So that's excellent news, and that means everybody's keeping up their end of the bargain, and we appreciate it.
That means I got another pair of underpants I have to throw away now. So listen, thank you for listening, because really, you know what that is more than anything? That's another month that the third floor is off our ass.
Absolutely, and that means we don't have to be nice to him anymore.
That's another month that I don't have to hear the commercials don't run on time. That's another month I don't have to hear, don't talk bad about the management of this station.
Sure.
Because they seize that opportunity. If ever we have a down month in the ratings, that's when they're going to get the chance to get their big old meat hooks into us.
Absolutely. That is their window of opportunity. And, you know, it's kind of a catch-22 because they look at this as an opportunity to bust our chops a little bit when, in fact, it's better if we do well, because then they're doing well, but they don't necessarily always look at it.
You know, sometimes I think a guy like Jeremy, King Jeremy up there on his bidet, I think he would almost trade, since it's more or less his job on the line, although let's face it, what pressure does he have?
Yeah, and he has to listen to the crap when we're doing well, and, you know, he can come down and pull his power trips if we're not doing well, so that is really...
I almost think that he...
I agree.
Would welcome the chance. Like a couple of years ago when we had that one rating book where we went from number one to number 14 in one book.
Yeah, everybody was very, you know, the first day, everybody pats on the back, hey, come on, guys, it's just a blip on the radar screen. Don't worry about it.
He had a little spring in his step, though.
Yeah, he's like, okay, here's my opportunity to make a few changes that I've thought about for quite some time. First of all, you two, uniforms.
There's no doubt about it that he looks at it as a chance for a little payback. So,
absolutely.
And as a matter of fact, I wouldn't be surprised if he had the real number all along, and he just said, you know what? I'm going to screw with Don. I'm going to call him up. I'm going to tell him they only have like a 7 share when really they have a 9 share.
That'll put a bee in his bonnet. Won't it?
Yeah.
Don, you're actually 2 points higher. Have a good day.
That's a miscalculation.
I'm terribly sorry if I caused you undue stress.
You know, I thought he miscalculated our July ratings.
Did he really?
I mean, I know that's months ago in his ancient history.
That was pretty important. Yeah, but I care about that.
Yeah, well, no, he miscalculated that, too, by a whole point.
Oh, my God.
We're a point higher in July than he gave us credit
for. Well, you know, if he keeps miscalculating, I hope he does it that way, because I'd rather have him miscalculate down and then come back with a real number higher.
Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yes, how you doing today?
Hey, my friend.
How are you?
Great, thanks.
Good. We're giving you an opportunity here to talk to one of the biggest stars coming up.
Are you going to, like, put somebody on the phone that's a relative of yours?
Are you going to pretend to be somebody?
No, it's me. Honest.
You're one of the biggest stars coming up?
I wouldn't kid you.
Really? And what is your name, big star coming up?
You can see me in Snake Eyes with Nicolas Cage.
Snake Eyes! I never saw that movie. You'd have to give me another one of your film credits.
For richer or poorer.
It's an awful Tim Allen movie. I didn't see that one either.
Oh, gosh. You guys are missing it.
Yeah, give us another one.
Enemy of the State coming out next week.
You're going to be an Enemy of the State with Will Smith? And Gene Hackman?
Gene Hackman, John Voight, you bet.
That opens tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Or Friday, rather. What are you doing it?
What are you, an extra?
We're background actors, correct.
Background actors.
Right.
You're an
okay.
extra.
Right.
Listen, they put out ads on the newspaper. You can make $50 a day by being sure. in big crowd shots.
Oh, come on now.
No, come on.
True.
Isn't that the truth?
No, we make more than that.
We've been extras. We know what you're talking about.
Yeah, we know.
Extra work's fun. I mean, if you know, if you're happy doing that, I think it's a, you know, you get to go to movies and say, there I am, you know, for 5 seconds.
Right.
It's fun.
Hell, there's a lot of bums in Los Angeles that, like, are alcoholics and stuff, and they support themselves by going to those open casting calls. When we were out in California doing our show a couple of months ago, you walk down, what's that main street? Sunset Boulevard.
Right.
And there's all these signs up saying, extras wanted, extras
sure.
wanted.
They're always
plenty
looking for
them.
And it's,
plenty
you know,
of them.
And it's kind of a subculture. It really is. They're kind of people, you know, they bring their lunch in, they bring in their little reading material, and they, you know, because it's all hurry up and wait when they're doing that kind of thing.
Yeah, but they got a principal part in Snake Eyes, so you got to go watch it.
You got a principal, you got a speaking part?
Yes.
Really? How many lines?
I'm the construction foreman at the end. I clap my hands to everybody, go back to work.
So you have no lines?
Yeah, that's my line.
Well, what do you say exactly? Everybody go back to work?
Back to work.
That's it. Just back to work.
You're a nobody. Rob Spiewak is a bigger star than you are.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
We might want to make you aware of a little factoid that we just received. Residual checks for Babylon 5, where we had starring roles.
Ooh.
And furthermore, let me tell you something. I burned my check on the air yesterday. That's how little the Hollywood establishment means to me.
Hello?
You got any idea the kind of cake I'm talking about? The kind of cash that Mike and I cleared for our starring role on Babylon 5? Take a guess. We received
those residual checks?
Yes, we received checks from the Screen Actors Guild. How much
Absolutely.
How much do you think big stars like me and Mike get for being on Babylon 5?
At least 42 cents, maybe.
Oh, okay. You want to be there. You know something? It was
$5.
$5. After everything was taken out.
Yeah, it's about, what, $10 before they took everything
almost
out.
Almost 10, Mike.
Almost 10, not quite 10.
Almost
you
10.
You guys are almost there.
Yeah, I believe
so. Oh, hell, we're bigger stars than you are.
Oh, no.
Someday maybe you...
I guarantee I'm the biggest right now.
Someday maybe you'll be lighting your checks on fire.
Let me just say another one of our credits. Okay. The Adventures of Briscoe County, Jr.
Yeah.
Another failing TV show. Thank goodness there are so many crappy TV shows that are desperate for ratings that they fly disc jockeys out and give them speaking roles.
Oh, jeez.
Hey,
well,
listen.
Yeah, we were fantastic on that show.
Yeah.
We looked like we'd right, you know, we came right out of the Old West.
Right out of the Old West?
Yeah.
That's great.
Would you like to hear our clip from Babylon 5 just to prove how much more big and powerful in Hollywood we are than you?
Okay, let's hear it.
Do you have a clip of your movies available?
I certainly do.
You have a clip? Well, you're not here now, are you?
No, but I could be there.
No, thank you.
Then we could see who's really the biggest.
I bet you are the biggest. You sound like a member of the Big Man's Club.
Hold on, please listen to our clip. This is me and Mike on Babylon 5.
Survey 1, you were holding coordinates 7x13 and await arrival of escort wing. Escort wing, standing by.
How ridiculously petty is this that we still have our clip of Babylon 5?
Delta 6, this is Delta 3.
Hold on, we're not on yet.
Oh. Roger that, Delta Leader, I'm on his tail.
You gotta listen carefully now.
Okay.
Quiet and listen, please.
I appreciate the permission, gentlemen. See you next month.
See you then.
Thank you.
Did you hear that?
I heard that.
That was me and Mike.
That's you.
Speaking roles. TV's Babylon 5.
Petty, you bet we are. We keep that tape around to show our listeners how pathetic we really are.
Okay, listen, Hollywood wannabe. We'll see you later.
I'll be there. See ya.
Okay, bye-bye. We'll look for you up on the silver screen.
Bye-bye. I'd be curious if anybody's seen that movie Snake Eyes, if anybody even knows who that guy is.
I don't know.
All right?
Construction guy. There's a big elephant man at the end that says, get back to work.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Yes, hello.
Hi, I just wanted to say how happy I am to hear you guys' ratings are up there, number one. I'm an avid listener here in Washington, D.C., and I think your show's great.
Thank you.
Well, that's very nice of you. Thank you.
And thanks, everybody, you know, for giving us credit in the ratings.
I'm just glad to hear that the weekend's trauma with the intro to your show didn't hurt your ratings any.
Mm,
no, not our regular weekday show.
That's wonderful.
And that's what really counts for us is right. The regular weekday show. If it was tied into the weekends here, you'd see two guys committing suicide.
Let me just check real fast and see what the station does on the weekend.
Did you have that in the packet?
Yeah, hold on a second. I got to look it up, though.
Very good.
Now, during the week, the station that we're on, WJFK,
mm-hmm.
The station has a 4.4, which is number 5. That's a pretty high rating.
That's the top 5. That's great.
To be the 5th-ranked station in the market. You know, good.
There's a sports junkies. I'm happy for them.
Oh, good. Way to go. I'm really happy for them. They went from 16th place to 6th place.
That's great news. They're catching on like wildfire.
That's good. They're good guys. They deserve some success.
Yeah.
Very happy for them. On the weekend,
I get psyched.
Hold on. We're not on the first page. Mm-hmm. Not on the second page.
Oh, no.
Right.
1.8 share, 18th place.
Oh, yeah, man. Baby.
And that's up because the station has the Redskins on the weekend.
That's right.
The station is pathetic on the weekends.
How about that? Hey, it's not pathetic for Tim McWilliams, though.
That's right.
Yeah, keep running those gardening shows. That's why you're in 20th place on the weekends.
Let me tell you right now, $3,000, you're not even getting in the building.
All right, listen, thank you for your support.
No problem.
All right,
thanks
see you later.
Thanks for letting me on the show.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right, bye-bye.
Hey, what are you wearing?
What am I wearing?
Yeah.
I've got t-shirt and jeans on. I just had a baby, so I'm kind of bumming around.
Oh, okay.
But thanks a lot for letting me on.
Are you breastfeeding?
No, I'm not.
All right, see ya.
All right.
Way to give her one last chance, Don.
Yeah. It's kind of a turn-on for me.
I understand.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, hello. How you doing?
You know, Laura's still expecting the thank you note for when...
Kick old biddies.
He used to make me bring in all those bottles every day. Never a note. I would have thought just a little thank you.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Hi, Baldy.
I just got to ask you one quick question. Did you guys used to be big fans of Hollywood Squares?
I would say I was a moderate fan of Hollywood Squares, yes.
I enjoyed the show.
Shadow Stevens. Remember Shadow Stevens.
Shadow Stevens was not even, shouldn't even be counted as a real host of Hollywood Squares. The real host of Hollywood Squares is Peter Marshall.
Peter Marshall and the little John Davidson.
Yeah, what's going on with John
Squares. John Davidson had the best singing song. Hello, from the upper left, Jim J. Bullock.
Hello, John.
Hello, Jim.
Is he doing anything right now?
What?
Shadow? Is he doing anything right now?
No, who cares about Shadow Stevens? Why would you call us and ask us about Shadow Stevens?
I don't know, because I thought maybe you guys would possibly know whatever happened to him.
We saw...
I know you guys pick on John Davidson a lot.
Okay, shut up a second. We saw Shadow Stevens in Disney World, didn't we, when we were doing a show down there? When he was doing a DJ show, because he is a DJ. That's how he got his start in L.A. And that's where we first noticed Shadow Stevens' hair plugs, his incredible hair plugs.
And we don't rank on John Davidson a lot. What do you mean you guys talk about John Davidson all the time?
Oh, right? Well, whenever Hollywood Squares is mentioned, I have always...
When's the last time Hollywood Squares was mentioned on this show?
A while back.
Didn't you really just want to mention Shadow Stevens?
I just wanted to know, because he was like the guy I remember more than Jim J. Bullock or John Davidson at all. Because I just remember him because of his voice.
Sir, I don't want to split hairs, but the last time John Davidson was mentioned on this show... was when he was in town in Showboat, and it went very well.
Really?
Yes, really.
Oh, wait, did we have a phoner with him?
Yeah, he was a good guy.
Yeah, John Davidson.
All right, guys, take it easy. Have a good one.
Go to hell. Just go to hell.
You know what I mean? It's people call with an agenda.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure what it is, and they want us to, hop on board, and it's impossible. It's tough sometimes. Yeah.
Why can't everybody talk about what we're talking about at this moment?
But even if you try to work it in, it can be a conversation, but it's like, oh, you always talk about John Davidson. Talk about Shadow Stevens. What? Shadow Stevens was the fly on the private part of the Hollywood Squares when he was even on it.
Fly on the ass. Barely there. Pimple on the ass of Hollywood Squares.
He had no real... I mean, he was an announcer for Hollywood Squares.
Right. I hate that guy. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
This is Brad. I'm calling from Las Vegas on 105.1.
Right. Hi, Brad.
We have a little article in our newspaper about Jethro.
Boy, I hate to every call have to cut somebody wide open, but I believe that is probably news that Buzz had yesterday in his Buzzcast.
Would it be something along the lines of the big oil derrick that Jethro wants to build?
It's kind of along those lines.
Mm-hmm. Listen, everybody, please... We read the goddamn newspapers. We are in the media. By the time you read something in the newspaper, by the time you hear another disc jockey talk about it, trust me, we've covered it.
That's why you're the radio gods, I guess.
There you go.
Right. Go to hell.
Thank you. And your family, too.
It's one of those days.
Don't bring my family into this. My family doesn't call your job and screw with you. I mean, but really, everybody.
We did have it. We spent a bit of time on it, too.
If it's something that's topical and in the news, mm-hmm. listen, we're all over it, man. We're all over it. I would rather people call and participate in the show. Just talk about stuff that's not in your newspaper.
There you go. Right.
I'll hang up and listen off the air.
Oh, you're killing me. And, you know, all these guys that call like this have this same smarmy kind of, okay, I'll hang up and listen. You're trying so desperately to be funny.
It's just, and you know what it is today? It just happens to be one of those days, and I will... Knock on wood. I will say that they are rare days where we seem to have an unbelievable string of them going, where they all seem to be agenda calls.
We're simply too accessible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We are too accessible to our fans. That's all there is to it.
And you're on the phone still, aren't you?
We appreciate it.
See, this guy, he does not get it.
He does not get it.
He's on the pleat in his cape.
He just wants to hang it. You're going to hang in there to the bitter end, aren't you?
No, I think I'll do the honorable thing.
Even now, the guy has to use like 8,000 words. No, I'll do the honorable thing and bow out. Hang up the goddamn phone.
Okay.
Don't say anything. Just hang up.
Have a good day.
You're a bad caller.
Thank you.
You're a bad caller.
Thank you so much. And have a good day. Bye-bye.
Finally.
Lust. Having his own voice.
Mm-hmm.
But above all, he could have been berated for 3 hours.
Oh, yeah. We are simply too accessible to our fans. Mike, we must be more remote.
Limited access.
Hello, Don and Mike. You got to have a backstage pass to call this show, I think.
Yeah, right.
Hello.
Don and Mike, we appreciate the accessibility and just want to congratulate you on the great radio.
You have to have a backstage pass, but the stage is one of those tractor trailers they bring out to a county fair without any fences around it.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Let me just make that statement again very briefly.
That guy, although not the worst of the string, just happened to be at the wrong time.
I really mean this. Please, everybody, if you read something in your local newspaper, you know, the odds are 9 times out of 10, we've already got it. Hell, what do you think Buzz is here for?
Yeah.
Buzz gets all the newspapers. He's got his wire machines. I read 3 newspapers a day. I watch all the news shows. Mike watches the shows.
Yep.
Mike looks at the pictures in the newspaper.
Show off. Wish I could.
It's covered anyway.
I read the paper to Mike every day.
Well, the thing is, though, who came in and told you about Rodman, huh? Who came in and went, look at that picture. That's Carmen Electra and Dennis Rodman. I did that the other day. And then he starts reading the story.
Yeah. But really, the point is that if there's something you're reading about in the newspaper, like in your Tuesday morning paper, don't call us Tuesday afternoon about it, because we've already got the same information.
Especially when we have a hardworking newsman over here. It takes a lot of time putting these stories together so we can all comment on them.
You just slow us down, man.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello.
Right, now with all that buildup, I dare you. Go ahead. We'll take a live call here.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
What's going on, guys?
Your radio's up too loud.
Me? Hey.
Hey.
What's going on?
What's going on? I'm having an Excedrin headache right now.
Well, I'm not trying to give it to you or anything. I've been listening to you guys for like 10 years now. I like worship the ground you walk on. I got 2 things to say. I know who that guy is in Snake Eyes.
Ah,
not personally.
Okay, now hold on a second.
Yeah.
Hold on. Now I'll say, here's a guy, heard something on the show,
right?
Called in. Relevant.
Sure.
Relevant.
Thank you.
Kind of makes it flow.
I will do anything for you guys.
All access for this gentleman.
Mm-hmm. You get the all access pass.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, you get to come back in the trailer.
All right, then.
All right, now what about the guy in Snake Eyes?
Okay, I know, like, because you guys didn't know the movie, I'll fill you in real quick. Nicolas Cage's character, he at the end of the movie, he's with the girl that he saves in the movie, and he's like, maybe we should start a new life, and like, together or whatever. So he goes on like that, and then, like, right at the end of the movie when, like, the scene part...
I wish I had a dollar for every time this guy says, like, ding.
So, like...
Ding.
The way the camera zooms up and away, you see this gentleman standing there, and he's like, what are you guys
doing?
Like, all these guys are sitting in the back not doing anything. So the foreman gets up and says, guys, get back to work.
And that's the guy. Is
that's
he,
the gentleman. Is, I know who he, I know who he is.
Is he a big man? Is he a large man?
I'd say he's a portly fellow. he's got a few pounds on.
All right.
Don't know
thank
what
you.
He looks like.
Very nice. Thank you.
Wait, one last thing.
Uh-oh.
I almost got arrested defending your honor.
Really?
Yeah. Huh.
All right, I'm interested by that.
Okay. I'm not trying to... Now...
I'm going to have to delete that out, sir.
Wait, just...
And one more thing. And one more thing.
I had to delete that out.
One more thing.
That's always a killer on this show. Just one more thing.
I tell you, I hope I didn't hurt the back of his neck when I ripped off his all-access pass.
Quick break and we'll be right back.
This is Don and Mike Show.
That John is the greatest guy in the world. We got to have him and his wife over for drinks sometime.
I don't think he's married, Homer.
Oh, and bachelor, eh? Well, there's lots of foxy ladies out there.
Homer, didn't John seem a little festive to you?
Couldn't agree more. Happy as a clam.
He prefers the company of men.
Who doesn't?
Homer, listen carefully. John is a homo.
Right.
Sexual.
The Don and Mike Show. The Don and Mike Show.
Yep, you guessed it. It's me, Buzz Burbank. And you know, as the newsman for the Don and Mike Show, I like to focus on the facts. And the fact of the matter is, you need to listen to the best of Don and Mike. Because next week, when Don and Mike come back, they're going to ask a trivia question. The answer is hidden in the best of. So listen very carefully to the best of Don and Mike. Answer the question next week and win big cash money. You have my word on it. You can trust me. I'm a newsman. My name, Buzz Burbank. And you are listening to the best of Don and Mike.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike, Homo Joe checking in.
Hey, Homo Joe.
Homo Joe.
You did meet me at one of your shows. The love triangle where we were handcuffed together. This guy and I was a Kelsey Grammer lookalike.
Oh, that's right.
And then I've done a couple things for you in the past.
Are you homo guys? Do you find Kelsey Grammer really attractive?
No, not really, but...
Who would be the most attractive man on primetime television?
How about just on Frasier? You like Frasier's brother?
Oh, yeah, he's cute.
How about his dad?
Nah, he's too old for me.
Really?
I like him young.
John Mulrooney or whatever the guy's name is.
Bring him young.
Yes, and bring him young.
That's the school that Michael Jackson went to, you know.
Yeah, but not as young as he does, you know.
Right, I got you.
Beautiful.
So, yes, Homo Joe.
I got a question. I have to work till 5 o'clock on Wednesday. Well, I still have a problem getting this. Is there a thing about 2 o'clock?
Yeah. Homo Joe?
Yes.
You are not quite at the level of Dennis Murphy.
I understand.
On our celebrity food chain.
I understand.
But I'll put you way up there. Yeah.
You are a VIH, a very important homo.
Hold on a second, and Pebbles Kerner will make sure that you get in, okay?
Okay. Thank you, Don.
All right. You got it.
Right. Talk to you later.
He'll be on the list, the list where, you know, the guest is part of the show.
Yeah. Hey, let me ask you a question, Homo Joe.
Sure.
Because you've always been very honest and open about your gayness.
Yes.
We were talking before about our friend Matt Elliott.
Right.
The NFL player.
Right.
Have you ever seen him? I mean, I know you've probably heard him on the show.
Right.
When you heard him, did you ever give a thought that he might be bi?
I think so.
You think so?
Because his voice and the inflections of the voice and such.
Well, he's getting married now. You know that. You heard that, right?
But, you know, I got married, too. You know?
Yeah. Ah. Did you know when you got married?
No, not until the priest said on the altar, are you sure you really want to go through with this? And I said, what do you mean? He says, I think you're gay. And I said, oh, I don't think so.
But the priest?
On the altar?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
What?
Yes. Because he was gay.
Joseph?
Yes.
Are you sure you want to do this?
What do you mean, Father?
I think you might be gay. What's your fee for being gay?
And did you say, yes, I am, and then the wedding was off?
No, I told him that I wasn't sure. And,
Wait, Joe, I'm sorry. I'm having difficulty believing this. You're getting married. You're in a church filled with people that are attending your wedding.
Are you marrying a girl or a boy?
I married a woman. I have a daughter.
So you're marrying your ex-wife.
Right.
And you've got a church full of people, and on the altar, during one of the most important ceremonies in your life, the priest says out loud in front of all the people gathered there that he thinks you're gay?
He said it not real loud, a whispering tone.
Oh, he whispered to you?
Yes. And he said, are you really sure you want to go through with this?
Do you, Joseph, take you, Christine?
Do you think you might be gay?
Sort of. still like that.
You said it like that?
Yeah.
And did your ex-wife hear it?
Yes, she did, and she said, "What do you think?" I said, "No." And I kind of sort of lied, because I did have some relations before that.
With men?
Yes. But I just thought it was something I'd grow. But it isn't.
So we're gathered here with what was your ex-wife's name?
Beverly.
Beverly and Joe, we are so glad that all their families.
I think it might be gay.
You
really? What was the denomination of this priest? What?
The same one you are, Don, Episcopalian.
Episcopalian priest.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
And he whispers to you during your marriage. Did you get it all upset that
you
did that?
I'll tell you something though, Mike. When I recently converted in the last couple of years to the Episcopalian faith.
Mm-hmm.
When I was up there,
yes,
that's exactly what the reverend said to me.
He said, "Thinks you might be gay."
He says, "Welcome to the Episcopal Church. You're now a son of God. You're baptized in the Episcopal Church.
You're gay.
I think you might be a homo."
Yes, yeah.
Really?
Amen.
I was, you know, I was married also with an Episcopal priest, and never heard a thing.
There's a lot of priests in the Episcopal Church.
Well, I don't even want to get into a whole thing about priests because you know. Especially Catholic priests.
Well, that's another whole story there.
Yeah, they're like Boy Scout leaders, for goodness sake. But, Joe, listen, I guess the point of this is we will see you Wednesday night. Perhaps, you know what, we'll get you up on stage Wednesday night, and we'll get some of the more intimate details that we cannot pry out in this public forum right now.
Oh, absolutely. They're very juicy and very interesting. Mm-hmm. And I will bring the picture of my daughter that Lewis our ex-Lewis to friend, wanted to be set up with my daughter.
Oh, dear. Oh, really? We'd like to see her, too, and we'll have a great time on that fine stage.
How old is your daughter?
Believe it or not, 22.
22? How old are you, Homo Joe?
How old do you think I am, Don? I'm older than you are.
Christ, I bet you're 45.
Yeah, absolutely. You got it right on the nose.
45, and your 22-year-old daughter, how is she with your gayness?
She loves it.
She does.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, it's like having two mothers.
Yes, indeed.
Are you kidding, right? Because I bet Homo Joe does all the mom things with her, right? I mean, don't you? You probably like going shopping with her and like go to the Julia Roberts movies. And...
Absolutely. She picks out men for me. She said, "Dad, what do you think about this one?"
Oh.
Do you mother her?
Not really. I mean, she's in college, and we see each other on weekends. And
but like when she stops over, do you like she probably has a room at your place, and then you go in and you sip coffee. And you remember in Terms of Endearment when Shirley MacLaine had Aurora Greenway had her leg wrapped around Deborah Winger's leg, and they were rocking it back and forth.
Like the girl talk stuff.
Yeah, do you do that?
Oh, absolutely.
Now, you're not wearing like a night coat like Shirley MacLaine had on, right? I mean, you're wearing man clothes.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
That was cool.
I never did the drag thing. It just...
Oh, come on. You know you have once.
No, I haven't. Not really.
You've never thrown a woman's frock on?
Well, one time for Halloween, and that was it.
The guy that you're with now, what is he, your partner?
Ex-partner. We just kind of broke up in August. He was in the military.
Really? Military? Huh?
Oh, really? Was he... did he shoot guns?
Well, he's in the Navy. I don't know if you'd say...
He shot an anal rocket.
No, he's more the bottom.
And he's in the Navy.
He was. Oh,
you know something, Joe?
In the Navy.
You can sail the seven seas.
Was it Homo Joe?
Yes.
How old was he?
He was 37.
Younger man?
Yes.
And it was a difficult... Was it difficult spending time apart?
Oh, yeah, because he was over in a small rock pile off of Africa. He was out of the country.
Oh, well, he was off with all those other seamen.
You know how that goes. But he was here for 18 months before he left.
Was he openly gay on the boat?
No. Very, very closeted.
Really? Yeah, because it's difficult, I guess.
Yeah, that don't kiss, don't tell type thing, you know.
Is there, when he's on a boat, is there like a secret society where you can find the guys that are gay?
Oh, absolutely. I was in the Navy, so yes, I would say.
You were in the Navy, too?
Yes, I was.
And there was like a secret society?
Absolutely.
Really? What about Captain Binghamton? Was he gay? Yes,
I can answer that.
McHale.
We can talk about McHale. That on the at the show on Wednesday.
You know,
the X-rated Navy.
Did you ever really see Carpenter doing any work?
Oh, there's no doubt that Carpenter was a homo. That
was
Binghamton's buddy, right?
Exactly.
Very good friend.
His butt buddy.
A lot of floors, if you know what I mean.
Oh, boy.
Trusted assistant.
So listen, really, homos have a rap of being, you know, with the wrist that goes down and go like, oh golly.
It's very effeminate.
They call that limp wrist syndrome.
Right, how could you have gone through, I mean, you must be, what are you, a butch
homo? I'm the butch side of it, yeah.
Butch homosexual.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
But not leather, but I mean, you know, with being out with Lewis that day on the DuPont Circle, I had a couple of leather people wanted to give me their... cards and do the dungeon thing with them.
But you're not into that?
I haven't, let's put it that way.
And do you have any desire? Do you ever harbor any desires to go back to, you know, the women?
Well, it's funny, I sometimes.
Ah, see? Good. We might still win you over to our side.
Hey, there's nothing. Listen, you got to admit, there's nothing like a place.
That's right.
There's
right.
No comparing that's between two pillows to
absolutely.
A place.
Exactly.
No comparing. There's
absolutely.
Nothing like a place.
Well, that's why I said I wanted to try the cigar to get trisexual again, you know, and see what happens.
I think that's a good thing.
All right, Joe. Excellent.
Be wonderful.
Hey, you know what? I bet
Ella. Not that there's anything wrong with being gay.
No. I bet that Ella would probably plant one on you on stage.
Oh, she probably... Well, we'll see.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I meant a kiss is what I meant. I'm surprised she'd probably do a lot more than that,
well,
too.
Well, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it could be an interesting experience for you. I think you sound like you're...
But I bet when you see Vanessa with her shirt off,
uh-huh.
I bet you become just a little more hetero.
Yes. Oh, you'll wait and see. I did go see that lady over at the there's a club over in Arlington that they look like play from the Playboy book. You know, all those wonderful girls.
You're such a homo.
Now you sound
from
so gay. From the Playboy book. From the Playboy book. It's a magazine.
A magazine. You know, you go up there and you can
from the Playboy book.
Well, you know.
She looks like...
Up there, Don, you can see they all look like they're stamped out of a magazine.
I might get out of the Playboy book. Okay, listen, Homo Joe, we will see you Wednesday.
Okay. All right. Hold on for Christine.
All right, beautiful. Hold on. Right.
Looking forward to it.
It's good old Homo Joe
from the Playboy book.
Who's Don and Mike's show?
Hey, can I talk to Don and Mike?
Yeah, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, Don. Hey, what's with this that being gay ain't okay?
What do you mean?
Okay.
What do you mean? It is okay to be gay.
Well, why? I mean, is that really you, or
listen,
is that...
No, that's really me. I'll tell you what, as long as some guy is not doing another guy behind closed doors.
Because everyone says that when they're public, that, oh, it's okay if you're gay, but I mean, I didn't know if that was really your point of view or what.
I think that is our point of view, and the fact is, I think like lots of heterosexual guys, everybody knows that there's a little stigma surrounding the, you know, the homosexual community, but as far as live and let live, I mean, I think that's the way it should be.
But sure. You got to be an open-minded gay like homo. Joe, who incidentally, if you notice, you know, me and Mike are still making our homo jokes while he's
sure.
on the telephone, the same way we would treat anybody in any situation.
That is, and you know, people that get the show understand that when we do that about everybody. I mean, it doesn't matter whether you're gay, whether you're straight, wherever you're from. I mean, we poke fun at everybody on this show.
Now, yeah. No freaking way.
Right.
But if they go somewhere where I can't see it,
I don't care what they do.
All right, that's cool. Y'all rule.
Well, how do you feel about it?
I don't think it's all right. I don't think people should condone it, if you know. But
I'm not trying to bust your chops here, but when you say don't try to condone it, how would you not condone it? I mean, isn't it basically somebody's right to do what they want if they're not hurting somebody else?
Yeah, but I think with the way people are nowadays, they're so afraid to admit what they really want that they try to cover it up and try to hide it and, you know, and say it's okay to be gay when instead of voicing the real opinion that, you know, I don't think it's okay.
Mm, all right. Well, you have a right to your opinion.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's cool. Y'all rule.
Okay, see you later.
That guy had to be like home from Memphis or somewhere. And I got the distinct impression that he wants to be gay. By listening to him.
I think so, too.
You know, when you see a guy that comes out and goes, I don't think there's anything right about it.
Kiss me! At least I come out and admit it, man.
Right, yeah.
I'm at least 5%, and hell, sometimes I'm all the way up to 70 or 80% gay.
And that day that you were 70 or 80%, might have been right there with you. It was just something in the room. It was very, very exciting.
I was so queer that day.
It was. I don't know what precipitated it, but it was... It was a very special day.
And as a matter of fact, I'm going to make one more bold statement, and then we're going to get off this topic.
Very good.
If I ever do have a gay experience,
mm-hmm.
it will be with Mr. Eric Bickle.
Good choice. Yes. Good taste.
Thank you.
I don't know why I'm applauding that.
And I'll see you all at Matt Elliott's wedding.
That's fantastic. And I know that you've chosen Eric Bickle, and let me go on record here saying if that ever happens to me. My last name, I want it to be Mick Williams. That's the way I feel about him.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hi, Donna Mike, how are you?
Hello, we're doing great, thank you.
Okay, I just wanted to say that I am a first-time caller, and I am a lesbian.
Oh!
Concise. Yeah.
We love lesbians.
Yes, I get that from your conversations I listen to every day.
Frank, love. I'd like a nice McWilliams O'Bibonet sandwich.
So the question I have for Don and Mike are, for you guys, I should say.
Yeah, yeah.
How come, you know, you don't want to watch two men? I mean, me personally, I don't want to watch two men either. But you are willing to sit and watch two women.
You know something?
You're
think
goddamn right.
You do want to watch two men.
No, it kind of turns me off.
Man,
really
that's all we're
because
saying.
I was
listen,
married.
It's the great double standard of our society. I don't know why it is. Well, first off, you know, I mean, just from my standpoint, you know, guys are gross. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't want to see some other guy's hairy bung, and I don't want to see his cheese.
Oh.
You know what I mean? But women, I'm always interested in seeing some naked
well,
lady.
Well, see, that's a double standard. It shouldn't be that way.
That's no, that is absolutely not a double standard.
It's the way I am. I don't, it's the way you feel. It's a double standard. I don't hold any ill will towards Homo Joe or any of the other homos that are listening to us, homo guys. I don't want to see them. Now, would I like to see you and your girlfriend?
Absolutely. That's not a double standard.
To me, it is.
How so?
Well, because, I mean, if you're saying that gay is okay.
And gay is okay. I just don't want to watch men.
You don't want to watch two men, but you're willing to watch two women.
Two women, right. But what's more important, what I want to watch or what I'm saying? What I'm saying is do whatever the hell you want.
Right.
But I do have a choice as to what I'm going to watch or not.
Just because you don't like something yourself personally doesn't mean you're totally against it.
Right.
So that would be a double standard if you know. I don't understand how you can say that's a double standard. That doesn't
well,
make a lot of sense.
I'm not saying that it's a double standard compared to what you want to, you know, you don't want to watch men, fine. But let me put it this way.
It's just an honest answer, actually.
Yeah,
it is.
I mean, it is very honest. It's very honest. But for you to say that it's okay to be gay.
And it is okay to
right,
be gay.
Right, it is okay. Because, I mean, like I said, I am a lesbian. It's no, you know, and I was married, and I don't want to watch two men. But
is this Brenda Stossel?
No.
I don't even know what her first name was.
Sounds good.
Jody no. Stossel.
No.
Joel D.
Hi, all.
Stacy Stossel.
Susan Stossel.
Are y'all done?
Stossel. Okay, come on, what? Come on, you being...
I was just stating the fact that I feel
Stephanie
that it was a double standard. How you would want to see two women,
no,
but
not at all.
Be totally grossing you out.
Not at all. No. I'm a hetero. Mm-hmm. I enjoy naked women.
Now, right. Not any woman.
Well, I got pretty low standards, Mike. I'm curious.
Not your grandma?
I'm not saying I want to have sex with all those women, but yeah, would I like to see...
The curiosity factor?
Yes. Yes, from that standpoint, yeah, hell, I wonder what my grandma looks like naked. Sure. I'm just being honest with you. I'm not saying I'd get a boner. But I'm saying I would, you know, if there are naked women nearby or available.
Dog. You don't give a...
I'll throw out an example.
I
we'll
look.
See if you go for this one.
I look.
Okay?
Yes.
You have an opportunity to see two women naked. The
right.
Two women are Lulu from Hee Haw and Shelley Duvall together. Would you want to see? I'm asking Don. I'm asking Don right now.
I swear to God, I'd look. No, I'm not saying that I'd go, oh, this is great porno.
Right. But you'd look brief, if ever so briefly, you'd look.
I'd look.
That's
yes.
What I
now, if the men were. Junior Samples and Ebb from Green Acres,
right.
You know, I wouldn't look.
Because
I don't want to see what two guys look like. I already know what guys look like naked. Like, I just look in the mirror and I see that every day.
Well, you have a wife. You already know what women look like naked.
I know.
So what would be the big deal?
Because I am attracted to women. Even though I have a wife and I'm faithful to my wife and I love my wife above all of the women, I enjoy naked women much more than naked men.
I mean, is that difficult to understand?
I'm endorsing the lifestyle of those who are gay, but it doesn't mean that I have a double standard just because I don't want to see two naked dudes together.
I guess not.
You can have actually dear, dear friends who are gay, but it doesn't mean you want to see them in action.
No, it depends on who they are.
Well, it would depend on who they are if you felt that way, but that would
right,
be your opinion.
That's your opinion. That's very subjective.
You're right. You're
okay.
Absolutely right.
Thank you. Next match, please. Jesus.
I don't like that double standard when it's used improperly. It's not correct.
It's not a double standard. I still want to see some other guy's hairy butt.
Of course. A double standard would be if you said, I advocate the gay lifestyle. I have no problem with the gay lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And then you were in Congress pushing legislation to take rights away from gay people.
Exactly.
That's a double standard.
Like Jesse Helms.
Yeah.
Or any of those guys. I'm just using him as an example because he's a dick.
Does he ever come out and say that he...
Oh, he hates gays. Yeah. He hates homos.
I'm pretty sure.
I don't know.
I don't either.
I know, you know,
there are a lot of those guys on the Hill, though, that, you know...
Half those dudes do.
It's like, I have nothing against gays, but then they are trying to legislate, you know, against them. Sonny Bono was a perfect example of that.
All right, yeah. Hey, just don't do it in front of me. That's all I'm saying. Hello.
Hi, Don and Mike?
Yes.
Hi, I'm Albert from San Francisco.
Let me hold on, Albert. Let me just give you an example. Two people just walked down the hall, and I will name them by name. One of them was Michelle from the sales department.
Mm-hmm.
Would I love to see her naked?
Mm-hmm.
Sure, I'd be interested. The other person that walked down the hall was David Hayline. Do I want to see him naked?
He'd be the last man I'd want to see naked on the planet.
Right. No, but that doesn't mean that I'm not for the rights of gay people.
Right.
I just don't want to see guys naked.
Okay.
Albert.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I just want to let you guys know I love watching women naked, men naked. I don't care. I love sex. And I'll try it anyway. I am, but you know what? I love men more, though.
Yeah, but do you...
See, Michelle just walked by again, and she gave me a little look like, huh?
Fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
Way to go, slugger.
All right, listen there, Prince Albert in a can. Our Prince Albert who likes the can.
Yeah.
Gotta go.
Hello?
You know, anybody who watches dirty movies probably couldn't say that they don't want to watch men naked because a lot of men are naked in dirty movies.
And here's a great dividing line.
Mm-hmm.
You enjoy watching...
Dirty movies.
Dirty movies where, like, you see the guy...
Yeah.
...with the woman, and you see the guy's thing, and you see...
Right.
...what happens.
Yep. Means I'm more gay than you are.
I don't.
See, right. That means...
I absolutely
You're talking about
don't.
5%, that probably makes me 10, 15, 20... I might even be 30%.
I absolutely don't. I don't want to see any relish in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to see a relish dispenser in the movie.
Right. You kind of prefer the softcore edited movies just for that reason.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't. I like it as hardcore as is humanly possible. You too, right, Buzz?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if
go
you're...
Go all the way, Buzz. Commit.
Exactly.
Join me. Join me, your hardcore friend.
That's what I'm saying. If you're going to see one of those movies, that's the way...
See one of those
movies.
You know,
and that's the way I look at it. I don't like them when they're chopped up and when you see somebody, you know, half a forehead or something like that. I don't like that. I think they're... What I do is I
don't want to see some other guy's thing.
What I say about that, I feel the same way about that as John Pop putting things directly on the cart. You know, it might be saving somebody something, but it's not saving me anything. Hardcore.
Rob, which side do you line up on? Hardcore or softcore?
Hardcore.
No surprise.
I think all three of us that are advocating the hardcore lifestyle would be doing so because if you're going to watch it, you might as well watch it the way it was made.
And I think the majority of men would agree with us on that.
So it would be...
La, 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 la,
and that falls into hardcore, softcore people.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a softcore person.
I'm softcore all the way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to see anything. I don't want to see a guy. Here's the most I want to see with a guy. And maybe see his butt, you know, like from a... When he's doing something.
Now,
but even that, I don't like seeing. I just like seeing girls.
See, and I also, in those movies, the hardcore movies, I'm tired of the guys. I think the guys are gross.
Right.
By and large. Would you agree to that?
Absolutely.
Because you need some fresh players? Is that what you need?
Just the guys that are in those movies, and I don't know whether this is just seeing any guy naked, and it might very well be, but the guys that are in those movies are... Disgusting, most of the
increasingly
time.
Increasingly so, yes.
Hello.
Hello.
Dynamite.
Like some fresh meat.
Hey, that woman that you had on that was a lesbian.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, she was being inconsistent herself. I mean, she's like you guys. She liked to watch women. She said she didn't like to watch men. Well, she didn't because she doesn't like men. You guys don't like men either. So she was she was the one who was being inconsistent.
Hey, let me just go on the record here. Since we're being clear, I'm okay with men.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Let's go on the record. I'm not.
All right.
Hello. I mean, looking at him. Hello.
Hey, Don?
Yeah,
look at him all day.
Your listeners don't miss a thing, man. I remember after Buzz's surgery, you asked to see his place.
That was purely medical, sir.
You said purely
medical curiosity.
You know, you've asked to see other places, too. Now that I remember it, you've asked to see other places. So maybe it's just the hardcore, softcore thing, but in real life,
perhaps I was being comedic, boys.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, wink, wink.
Right.
during the break, Mike.
Jesus.
All right.
I love it. Hello. I love the subject.
Hello.
Hey, Radio Gods.
Hi there.
How's it going, Don?
Great. Great, my friend.
Hey, you guys got the new Playboy?
New one? No, I don't think we do.
Rob, do we have the new Playboy book?
No, not yet.
Oh, you guys haven't got it yet.
Sorry, Homo Joe, like, Don, those girls look like they do in a Playboy book.
Playboy book.
I just got my blanket out here checking it out. And Joan Crawford, she's in the center spread. Bueno or Busto, boys.
Joan Crawford.
She's one of about 100 celebrities in here under the celebrity.
Are they antique? Is it an antique photo, like an old photo?
Yeah.
Why are you nodding knowingly, Buzz?
Remember, we did the story recently about Playboy selecting the 100 sexiest women of all time. And this is the issue for that.
And it's a real picture of Joan?
As far as I know. I mean, this guy has the magazine.
Or is it a Joan lookalike?
Yeah, it is. It's got to be. They're printing it.
Really? Do they show everything?
Got to run out and get one real quick.
Come on, tell me. Have you seen it?
Oh, yeah.
Do they show everything?
Oh, yeah, they do.
So it's a hardcore photograph of Joan
sitting
Crawford?
Sitting down, and she's got one leg kicked up, with one foot kind of under her butt area.
That's really? Was it done like in that 1950s Marilyn Monroe style, though?
And it's showing quite a bit there.
And I will always beat you.
Okay, last call. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike. How are you?
Hey, buddy. What a strange. And, you know, that had to be the quickest entrance and exit. I saw you, Jimmy Dum-Dum. I saw that you were the one that brought us the Playboy book. He flips me off because you know I wasn't supposed to see you.
Hello.
Hi, Don.
Hi.
Well, I've been listening to this whole conversation, and I've come up with the idea that perhaps you would be a male lesbian.
Huh? Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the Playboy right now. I'm not even really listening to what you're saying.
What is a male lesbian?
Well, I don't know that there's really such a thing, but...
A man who enjoys naked women.
Mm-hmm. Right. If you were within the gay community, because you guys are always saying that you're a little bit homo.
Yeah.
Well, it just struck me that you could almost classify yourself as a lesbian.
Oh. This picture, hold on a second. This picture of Joan Crawford looks like Faye Ray from King Kong. Take a look at, there's Joan Crawford naked. Looks like Betty Boop.
I think Faye Ray is in there also, actually.
Yuck. Oh. It's gross. She looks like a flapper. No pun intended.
But I think because of...
Well, I did have a different...
Hold on. Hey, can you hold on just a second, please?
Are you too far away?
Yeah.
Because of that right there,
that
qualifies as a hardcore photograph.
All right, let me see that, please, a little up close.
Would that be accurate, Rob?
Yes, it does.
Absolutely.
See everything. Mm-hmm. Okay, what else did you want to say?
Well, I did have one last question, though, and I'm pretty sure how you would answer, Don, but I'm curious about Mike.
Yeah?
Because this comes up even in the heterosexual world where...
Interrupt you for a second? And if you have any questions about how I'd answer anything about this... You know, it's really probably convenient for you just to put a yes in there. All right. But go ahead. You can finish now.
Okay. Well, my question is, you have the opportunity to have a menage a trois, okay, three of you. Would your choice be you with two women, or would you have a problem with one woman and another guy?
You mean which would I prefer?
Yes.
I'd prefer two women.
But would you do it with another guy?
No.
Uh-oh.
Good man, sorry.
Now, my question is, why not?
Yeah, I'm hoping this continue.
I think a lot of women...
backed me into a corner there. And I just don't think that scenario would happen.
Good man.
But it would be two women.
What if the other man was me, Mike?
If the other man was you, capital letters right across on my belt buckle, YES.
Capital idea. Okay, listen, we got to go.
Okay, thank you, guys.
We should have done a break about an hour ago. Hold on.
And another word next to the yes.
Yes.
Please.
This is the Don and Mike Show. The Don and Mike Show goes to war.
This time, no mercy on you.
Sure.
You son of a bitch.
An enemy issues a challenge.
First off, when I heard your pussy show today, I heard you talking about, a cage match. Who would win a cage match?
And the radio gods welcome the challenge.
$5,000 towards charity. You get in a ring with me anytime, anywhere. I'll kick your ass.
Yeah!
Because you're on the air, so, hey, what if there was a cage match? Well, I'd be up for that.
The enemy
Jack Diamond, a.k.a. Harvey Joel Fisher.
Everybody in the radio business hates you.
The Harvey Joel Fisher Pandora's box has been open, and you know,
wide open every day on this show, Harvey, and it's going to be relentless.
So does this war have Harvey in over his head?
Well, you think you can be a big man and talk about us for 5 minutes in between your Gloria Estefan and Phil Collins records, we can devote time to you every day on this show. I got some news for you. You're in deep water now, okay? You're swimming with the big boys now. Are you listening, you son of a bitch? You got some skeletons in your closet, and I'm finding them now.
Don and Mike even mercifully offer the enemy a way out.
Listen to me now, O.J. Fisher. It's going to be bad, and the only way it's going to end is when you come on this show and ask us publicly to please stop talking about you.
But despite all of his tough talk, Harvey Joel pussies out just 24 hours later.
Harvey.
Gentlemen.
Is this the Harvey Joel Fisher?
Good morning.
Amazingly, before it even begins, the war is over.
Well, that was just a celebrity deathmatch pairing, that's all. In fact, we even admitted we'd lose to you guys.
Well, that's true. We know that would happen.
All right.
All right, well, I will accept this as your apology since you were big enough to call us.
Well, thank you, guys.
Okay.
Have a nice day.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations. You can stop listening to the show in fear.
The Allied forces of the Don and Mike Show prove victorious once again, keeping America safe.
Victory for us.
Yes.
A defeat for him. He quit. We won.
So remember what we've learned. Don't with Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara. And God bless America.
The Don and Mike Show.
They're extra smart because they've got extra brain juice. Don and Mike.
I got another radio note for you also about a DJ.
Mm-hmm.
I've been getting calls the last couple of days from Pat Prebost.
Yes, that's Slicky Boy.
Yes, Aline Cunningham's son.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, Aline Cunningham is the very sweet Mrs. Santa Claus-looking psychic.
Right.
Who we'd had on our show back on our old morning show. Then
yep.
We went through a period where we didn't have her on. Then we had her on our afternoon show for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, like a lot of stuff, we kind of got sick of having her on. So
we
were gentlemen about it. We went to her son, who's her manager, and we said, you know, we just don't think it's happening anymore to have Aline on the show.
Right.
Right? I mean, she's a wonderful carny, but
yeah, she's been, you know, very sweet, very nice.
But, you know, we're kind of getting bored of having a psychic on the show.
Right.
So Pat said, okay, no problem. And there was this other disc jockey, Harvey Fisher, Diamond in the Morning.
Snatched her right up.
Snatched her up.
Right.
Well, Pat Prebost keeps calling now. I won't return his calls, but Charlie has talked to him, Charles Broyhill, and he said that now Aline wants to know if she can come on the show again, on our show again, because this guy, Harvey Fisher, he doesn't want her on, and the only reason that Harvey Fisher ever took her on in the first place is because he thought that he'd be able in some way to get back at us.
Yeah, of course. Right?
Aren't these jockeys stupid?
Yeah, they are totally stupid.
It's like we got a bit on our show that we've had for 5 years that is old and tired out. No offense, Ali.
Mm-hmm.
Old and tired out and worn out, and we're tired of it.
Right.
So as soon as we drop it, he thinks, hey, I'm going to pick this up for Diamond in the Morning.
We actually had a pretty decent laugh about it when she was going over there. It was just kind of funny because, I mean, we knew that he wouldn't be able to enjoy her company the way we did.
Yeah, right.
And obviously that happened.
Yeah, the only reason we had fun with Aline is because while she was talking serious and closing her eyes and talking to the callers who all seemed to call with the same question.
Sure.
Will I ever meet the right guy? Will I get a better job?
Right. Where do I get a bag to put the dog poo in?
While she's doing that, we would either goof on the callers or me and Mike would actually write signs to each other. We'd write notes on index cards and hold them up, and we'd actually play a game with Aline.
See how long we could hold up the cards before she'd look up, and then we'd have to put them right there.
Right. And we always thought, you know, she was really a psychic.
She'd know we were holding up the cards.
She would know that we were holding up cards that just said, filthy, disgusting things on them.
We had a good time. It was time. You know, it was time to kind of move along.
We like Aline very much, and I know she still has a bunch of fans out there who occasionally will call us or fax us and ask us if she's ever coming back on the show.
She was very popular.
Mm-hmm. Well, the answer is no. I'm sorry that ran its course. There's lots of things to do on the show, but I just thought it was interesting that the other disc jockey picked her up, and then just dropped her and pretty much told her son that the only reason he picked her up in the first place is because he thought he could stick it to us.
Wow. Wow, that's great. Boy, you sure did, Harvey.
You lose again, Harvey.
Way to go. We've seen the ratings, and you continue to lose.
You lose again, Harvey.
Way to go, Harv.
You suck, Harvey. That guy's awful. He's just, really, he's the worst. He's pathetic. He's the most pathetic disc jockey in the Washington, D.C. market.
Radio to make your flesh crawl.
Oh, he's the worst. He lives for sick kids.
Phony baloney.
Because that's like he loves a kid that's sick because he can then base a whole show around a sick kid to make himself look better.
Yeah, well, I work for the guy. I know the real guy. I know the guy behind that.
I only know the guy that I hear on the radio, and I know I hear the biggest phony ass that I've ever heard in the business. Someone who will exploit a sick kid or a terminally ill adult to make it for his own benefit.
Let me tell you something.
Sure, thank you.
You go behind my back, and I won't just blackball you in the market. My revenge will be sweeter.
That's what he actually said to you, right?
That's a direct quote from him. He said it to me in the WYRE Annapolis production studio, and I never forgot it.
And this guy's whole rap on the air is, hey, I'm a nice guy. I'm a sweet guy. I love everybody. The guy's the biggest son of a bitch on 2 feet.
Reptile! He's a reptile!
He is.
Yeah, so he really stuck it to us. Huh?
Yeah, way to go.
Thank y'all.
Hey, and don't forget, Mike, he opened for the Moody Blues.
Wow, yeah. Do you remember that? Oh, that was so funny. This is the funniest thing. I love this story.
This disc jockey, Jack Diamond, he's talking on his show for a month about, hey, yeah. He's like all disc jockeys, he has a band.
Yeah, of course.
So he says, hey, my band and I, we're going to be opening for the Moody Blues. Yeah, thank you. Come on out to Nissan Pavilion. So Rob actually goes to the show.
Rob wants to go see the Moody Blues.
Of course. So Rob goes to the show. So I asked Rob on the weekend after the show, I said, was Harvey there? Did Harvey open up? And where was Harvey with his band?
It really threw me because I got to my seats and I heard like some noise off to the left side. And I went there, and he was not on the main stage, but on a stage by the beer cart. I estimate the stage to be about 8 by 10 feet. And it was his whole band.
Not doing, even in the venue, not
no,
even in, no, the, in the pavilion.
No, next to the beer cart.
Oh, my
next
God.
To the beer cart, doing his little medleys of What I Like About You.
And I know where this place is at Nissan Pavilion, and this place is just this tiny little area, and it's a sideshow is what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a sideshow.
Hey, I'm opening for the Moody Blues.
Thank
Come
you.
Out and see me.
Yeah, I think super. It's... This bastard listens to this show every single day. I would bet money he's listening right now.
Yeah, a good opening for Moody Blues.
He's listening to this show right now. And when we used to compete against this guy, we beat his ass in the ratings.
I love your band, sir. Can you step out of the way so I can get a Heineken, please?
We beat his ass like a drum in the ratings. And then when we got moved to the afternoon show, we still beat his ass. I mean, we talked about him all the time. And this guy, oh, I know we've told this story a million times. This guy actually came down to the station to complain to Ken Stevens because we are talking about him on our show.
This is the greatest part of the story because after threatening Mike that he would blackball him from the business, he came crawling back to you guys.
Yeah, so Ken says to him, what are you talking about? Bottom Mike are disc jockeys. All disc jockeys talk about other disc jockeys.
You're a DJ. Get over it.
So then Harvey came into our office.
That was something surreal. I couldn't believe it. Because this, you know, and this totally not unprovoked. This is a guy that would, in his own wimpy way, make a little reference to us. Very, very hard to find him, but they'd always get back to us when he'd say something. Always be a throwaway comment, always be a little dig.
You know, typical disc jockey is such a big pussy that he doesn't have the guts to say what he really thinks, but he says it in a veiled way so that if his boss calls him on it, he can talk his way out of it, right? Because, of course, his boss says, listen, don't stoop down to Dynamite's level. Don't talk about them. All that does is give them publicity. Don't talk about Dynamite. Whereas me, I got no problem saying Jack Diamond because I know anybody who turns on his show will know that he is a pathetic loser and will immediately switch the station. The guy's a phony. He's a blowhard. Oh, Christ.
Yeah, just to hit Eileen to get back at Don and Mike. Thought it would really get there.
Oh, it did, Harvey.
Oh, boy.
Oh, it did. And let's wind this up with one last Harvey story.
Yes.
We start competing against this guy back when we did a morning show. And like I say, we're beating his ass like a drum. One day, this guy calls us in the office. Again, this is unprecedented in radio history. This jockeys talk about each other all the time.
Yeah, it comes through the territory.
This guy got the balls. He calls us in the office one day, right? And keep in mind that his whole rap on the air is, hey,
I'm a nice guy. I'm a sweet guy. I love everybody. Love you, babe.
This guy calls us, and we got him on a speakerphone in our office. He unleashes the most vile stream of profanities, more vile than anything that I've ever said or anything you've ever said.
Real high pitch, too. Real money.
And then he faxed us all these ratings from his station in San Diego, which is where he worked before he got the gig in D.C.
A little insecure.
You know, we laughed. I mean, first off, we're just sitting there looking at the speakerphone, just laughing. And Harvey going, hey, F you, big, big dicks, F you. Then the fax machine goes off. We say, what is this? What do ratings from a station in San Diego have to do with what he's doing in Washington, D.C.?
I'm not doing well here, but let me show you what I used to do. Take that.
The guy's a dick.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we still talk about him to this day.
That's right.
So, no, it still bothers him.
And it's poisonal.
He still listens to this show every day, and he still wishes he had the guts to do a real show.
Right.
But you never will, Harvey.
Never.
You and that gerbil ventriloquist of yours, a ventriloquist dummy you're working with these days.
Oh, man, I tell you, he is something else. I don't doubt that for a second that he did that with Alan Cumming.
Oh, no, that's what Pat Prebost told Charlie Broyhill, that Harvey said that to him.
Mm-hmm.
Said he only took Alan on his show so he could get back at us.
Yeah, thanks.
Way to go, Harvey.
Boy, we are wounded.
Ooh. Ouch. Ouch. Hey, how's the best mix of the 80s and 90s working out for you? You pathetic do-good loser, lost dog announcements.
Hey, yeah, I'm a nice guy. I'm a real great guy. Hey, if your kid's got a debilitating disease, call me up and I'll do a show to raise money for your child to make me look good, Jack Diamond. Opening for the Moody Blues next to the beer cart.
Yeah, opening for the Moody Blues.
Super duper.
And that's another thing. Stop bringing down the name of all disc jockeys by thinking that you're some kind of a singer.
Oh, he's pathetic.
You're not. You're a bad disc jockey. That is your lot in life. It is your lot to play bad Gloria Estefan records and talk to kids that are sick to exploit them for ratings.
When I was at the Moody Blues concert, I went with my stepfather, who was a professional musician, and noticed that his guitar wasn't quite amplified.
His guitar wasn't even plugged in?
It might have been plugged in, but if you watched the music you were hearing and watched what he was playing...
Not in sync, huh?
Didn't quite jive. Good boy, Jack. Good boy.
Hey, you know you're pathetic. When you have to be, somebody has to cover for you when you're next to the beer cart.
And the guy's a lazy son of a bitch, too, if you ever listen to his show, that he gets joke services. He's one of those guys, he pays $100 a month, like for Topical Punch or for the Electric Weenie.
Right.
And that's a real name of a joke service, Rob.
Yeah.
He doesn't even make the facade like that he's going to make the jokes up. Here's how it goes. He goes, hey, I'm X-107. Hey, Mariah Carey. Good morning.
718.
And I guess he fancies himself like a Johnny Carson.
Yeah, he uses his monologue.
He goes,
hey, that President Clinton, while our thing could be on the cover of Cigar Aficionado this month.
And then all of his lackeys, cackle it up. We're going, Jackson, you're so crazy.
Hit the jingle. And these joke services, seriously, every single one of them, when we used to get them, we got a lot of them at the old morning show. Mm-hmm. We get a few of them now. But the fun part was getting the jokes in that they would send. Because every month they send you a sample of this stuff. And reading them because they were so bad, they were funny to listen to in the office, but not on the air.
Harvey does them like they're serious shtick.
Yeah, absolutely. Right.
And the worst thing is, I've actually heard this guy where he'll say stuff like, hey, I was up all night working on this material. You know, listen, I know how that works.
Right.
They fax you a page of jokes every morning at 5 a.m.
Right. Come in, get the sleepies out of your eyes, rip them off the machine, and walk in and pretend you're Shecky.
He's another one of those guys that has the DJ comedy service also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where you get your station to pay like $500 a month, and they send you wacky parody songs.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gets to say, hey, it's another Time into the Morning Looney Tune.
Yeah.
When in actuality, he had nothing to do with the creation of the songs, which most times suck.
Mm. And you can hear it on other shows all over the country.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right. Oh, the guy's pathetic. The guy's the worst.
He really got our goat.
Yeah. Oh, you did it, Harvey.
I tell you something.
You did it. Congratulations. You get a half hour on today's show.
Bingo!
You big load. Hello?
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Speaking of lame disc jockeys, what about the guys in Mobile? Are they in a shallow grave yet?
I had a nice conversation with the general manager / owner of WABB today, and I don't want to say anything about that right now. If you catch my drift, things are going our way.
Sorry to intrude.
No problem.
Sorry to intrude.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don.
I'll tell you what happened with that situation when there's
a little more to tell. I did get a very sympathetic ear, though.
Good, good.
From the owner of WABB, who understands our situation.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
How's it going?
Great.
Hey, Buzz.
Hey.
Just want to let you know, I saw Harvey Fisher down in Legends in Waldorf, and he was horrible. I mean, you would think that he would at least been, like, the lead singer or something.
No, he's not.
The guy hardly...
In his band, you mean?
Oh, my God. They played, like, the same... They played this Tom Petty, like, novelty song or something. I mean, like, 50 times a night, and everyone just kind of looks at him like, is this for real or what?
Yeah, it's
awful.
It's his own ego massage. That's why he does that kind of stuff. He's not doing it because he's certainly not bringing anybody any quality entertainment.
Guy's awful. He's about 3 feet tall. Yeah. One of these short disc jockey types that likes wearing satin jackets and wears a bunch of gold chains around his neck and pinky rings and everything. Drives a freaking Corvette. I mean, come on, I drive a sports car, but not a Corvette, man.
I didn't even know that, he drives
Don't you remember
Corvette.
The day he came to the station? He drives a blue Corvette.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's for you, Harvey.
There you go.
Ah, hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Yes.
Radio God. You guys,
you reminded me when you said that. Don't you remember when I think my friend saw it, Criswell Chevrolet.
Oh, the car dealer
had his name plaque on it.
Oh, that's right, because he gets a car a month.
Yeah. That's right. The Jack Diamond Corvette.
Yeah, she's driving this car.
So this guy's got a deal with a dealership where he, like, drives a car for a month and then gives it back to the dealership, and they put a plaque on the inside of the car that says, you know, Jack Diamond's ass sat here for 30 days.
Right. I tell you, this car, it smells bad. It smells very bad. It was very bad.
Oh, the guy's awful. Hello.
Don and Mike.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're going to talk about radio DJs, you can't forget Big Don O'Brien of Brian and O'Brien in the morning on D104.
Big Don O'Brien is our friend, my friend. Hello, Don on my show.
Hey, why don't you guys give 30 minutes to Washington's greatest DJ and Arby's supporter, Ken Beatrice?
You know, I miss him. I do. Yeah. I do. I miss him. He was fun to make fun of, but now he's on a station that he can't hear.
Hello, Don on my show.
Hey, what's up?
Listen, we don't have any great hatred for Ken Beatrice.
No, we don't. I mean, he's fun to do an impression of, but I'll tell you, it was, you know, just sad that now he's on a station. I mean, it's one thing to go under a bridge and lose a station. It's another thing to go under a tree.
Now, Harvey.
We hate Harvey, man.
Yeah, it's personal with Harvey.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hey, I saw Chris Tucker coming out of a gay club in D.C.
You mean a guy from Rush Hour?
Yeah. The black dude that, you know, acts like Chris Rock.
Yeah, right. You saw him coming out of what gay club did you see him coming out of?
I don't know. It's down there by Buzz on South Capitol. We were coming out of Buzz, and he was coming out of his club next door.
Buzz, were you coming out of a gay club?
The name of a club not affiliated with me.
All right.
Oh, isn't that your gay club, Buzz?
No. I sold it, actually.
Hi.
No.
Hi, gays.
It's like a rave.
Is what?
It's like a rave, but Chris Tucker was coming out of a club called Wet next door. It's a gay club. He was getting into a limo.
And you're calling to tell us this because?
Oh, he's just a homo. He's a fag.
Mm. I don't know. He might very well be. Hello. It would make no difference to me, though.
Yeah.
I don't like him. Mm-hmm. I didn't like him in the Bruce Willis movie where he was the disc jockey. You're right. He's like a low-rent Chris Rock.
That guy's on his 12th radio station, though, calling people to tell him that he saw him.
Yes. Hello, Don and Mike.
Telling everyone.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a couple names for you. I don't know if you ever heard of a guy played, I think, for the Jacksonville Jaguars, named Harry Colon.
Oh, yeah. He used to play for the Lions. As a matter of fact, one year he was the Don and Mike NFL Player of the Year, Harry Colon.
Harry Colon.
Beautiful. And there's another football player. I still can't believe it to this day, but their parents actually named this player, who is an African-American, they named him Simeon Rice.
Yeah, he plays for the Phoenix Cardinals. What is wacky about that?
You don't know what a simian is?
Yeah, all right. But, you know, who knows what the real spelling is of the name and everything like that. I don't like that. No.
I think it's cold, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've heard the guy's name. I never read anything into it, man.
We're entering the homophobe bigot hour right now on this show. Hey, he's a fag. It's on come out of here. Hey, name's Simeon.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Jeez.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi.
You forgot to mention Harvey Fisher's stellar real estate career that he jumped off.
Oh, that's right. You know, God bless our listeners that they don't forget.
Right.
He never sold a house.
Yeah. That's the other thing. That this guy, for a while, this disc jockey, Jack Diamond, he fancied himself as a real estate agent. He was doing that on the side.
Well, I'm in the mortgage business, and he never sold a house.
Never sold out. That's always an interesting footnote right there. That being a DJ, not good enough for him. He wanted to sell some real estate on the side.
We had a bunch of real estate agents call and goof on him when he was doing that. Then he had a card that said Harvey Fisher slash
Diamond in the Morning.
I can do this. I can sell houses.
You can sell houses on spare time. Yes.
Yeah. Thanks for coming by. Listen, thanks for coming to the open house. Tell me about your house from Diamond.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, yeah, my buddies keep making fun of my name. It's Brian Lumpkin, and they all call me B. Lumpkin.
Lumpkin.
Lumpkin. I don't get it.
Hey, right.
Well, ask him to explain it to you sometime.
Lumpkin, buddy. Hello. Oh, we got to do a break. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, I'd like to tell you, I was a medical transcriptionist at one time, and I did a transcription on a guy named U Balls. He spelled it E-W-E-B-A-L-Z.
U like the sheep, U Balls?
E-W-E.
U Balls.
And
send those to Bob Barker.
Coincidentally, he was in there because he had a wart on his thingy.
He had a wart on his what?
His thingy.
His ding?
His thing.
Do you mean his penis?
His thing, yeah.
How did you say it again?
His thingy.
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 You're talking baby talk, aren't you?
Yeah. I'm from Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I don't live in an adobe house.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Baby talk.
Thank you. Okay, this is the last call. Hello.
Hey, Don. How you
I know you enjoy about the water boy.
Baby Don. Talk.
Mama said.
Don.
Yes.
His name was U Buzz, and he had a thing on his dinger.
Yes, what?
What about Jonathan Brandmeier? Remember him?
Yeah, he's all right.
In Chicago, yeah, he was pretty cool.
Yeah, but he's a nobody, man. I mean, Jack Diamond is more of a somebody than Jonathan Brandmeier.
Well, how's he doing, though?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Is he still in Chicago?
Asked and answered.
What do I look like? I don't live in Chicago.
Well, you know, we have reserved the right to talk badly about other DJs, but in general, we hate talking about other DJs. Yeah.
Hello, Don, on my show.
Hey, guys.
Hey. I'm... All right, thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right, one last call. Hello, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Great.
I saw Jack Diamond at one of his big gigs at the Kent Narrows in the Crab Deck, an outside bar.
That guy, he plays only the finest rooms, doesn't he?
And he's
was he doing his unique variety of Tom Petty parody songs?
That's it. He's up on stage, he's a little short guy, and he's kind of eyeing the girls that are eating crabs. We're just trying to eat dinner. And he's eyeing the girls, you know, winking.
He's pathetic.
They're just not giving him any signs whatsoever.
I believe I appeared at the Crab Deck one time.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, but I had a good reason, too. I was down there judging the bikini contest.
Ah, there you go, Mike.
Yes, back in my Annapolis days, I just couldn't say no to them. You know, they twisted my arm.
You weren't up there with your folk band, were you?
No, I certainly wasn't. You wouldn't have seen me. I was sitting down in a little one of those little plastic chairs right in the front row.
Oh, hold on. Here, we got one last tape of this guy. How do we get this? We knew someone who worked at Q107 that sent us, like, all of their disc jockey tapes.
Hi, this is Mix 107.3's Jack Diamond.
Listen at that phony voice.
Hi, this is Mix 107.3's Jack Diamond.
Yeah, coming out of a guy that's the size of Tom Thumb. Wishing you and yours the happiest of holidays with the sounds of Christmas. A gift from our family to yours. On Washington's Mix 107.3.
Y'all.
Jive ass.
Jive ass.
What a great guy he is.
Yeah. Right. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Look who's here. It's Mr. Clean with a giant bargain offer. 13 cents off on every giant bottle. 13 cents off. Just like getting two big jobs of Mr. Clean cleaning free. He'll clean up a whole bathroom full of grime like this, free. Watch Mr. Clean just swish it away. Then, he'll clean a whole floor full of dirt like this, free. He'll make it sparkle faster and easier without rinsing. Yes, wherever, whatever you clean, now's the time to get Mr. Clean himself.
Mr. Clean gets rid of dirt and grime and grease in just a minute. Mr. Clean will clean your whole house and everything. Clean.
Now, while this offer lasts, get free cleaning jobs, save 13 cents on every giant bottle.
The Don and Mike Show.
God damn it. The Don and Mike Show.
Well, we got to start like everybody else. With the sappy music and... I'll go first.
Go ahead, Don.
Because I thought we'd devote a few moments today at the beginning of the show to our favorite Michael Jordan moment.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite Michael Jordan moment
Happened just a few months ago. When we thought we'd get to watch a videotape of Michael Jordan having sex with a prostitute. Of course, we never got to see the tape. But that was my favorite Michael Jordan moment. Mike, you got a moment?
Oh, Don, you've put me so on the spot here. You know something? My favorite Michael Jordan moments will be 24 hours from now, when they stop the 24-hour tribute to Michael Jordan. Because although I respect his incredible playing ability, I must tell you that I have had it up to here with the paper inserts, with all the guys sucking up to Michael Jordan. It's just, they're diminishing his greatness by sucking up to him.
I got a second Michael Jordan moment.
Very good. See, you're a basketball fan. I'm not.
The day I cracked open my first bottle of Michael Jordan cologne. That would be my second favorite MJ moment.
I will tell you, I have one other, and that was the first time I saw him stick his tongue out when he was making a play. I thought it was just wonderful how he could accomplish such incredible aerobatics while his tongue was between his lips like that.
I heard he used that same move in the videotape that we never saw.
Uh-huh.
The videotape where he's having sex with a porno star. Buzz, I know you're not much of a sports fan, but
I do, though.
You are from the Chicagoland area. Do you have a Michael Jordan moment?
I have a favorite Michael Jordan moment that lasts about 2 hours. It's called Space Jam.
There you go.
May it live forever.
That's a good one.
Very nice.
Wonderful.
Rob?
Let me put you on the spot. Can you come up with a favorite Michael Jordan moment?
Will any of us ever forget the commercial where he does the impression of Daffy Duck?
Ah, yes. A special moment.
I have it on tape, but it'll never be the same knowing that it's over.
Yeah, it's over now.
God bless you, Mike.
I read an article today that said, hey, the article was entitled, "His Endorsements Will Continue."
Thank God, Mike.
Yeah, there's a nice piece of journalism there.
I know that 5 cent Sundays will never be the same. And this concludes our favorite Michael Jordan moments.
The congregation may be seated. That was a beautiful moment.
Yes. If you think that's pathetic, just turn on any of your sports channels. Because that's what they're running. They're running that hokey music in the background.
Mm-hmm.
Slow motion highlights of him making all these baskets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's the greatest basketball player of all time. There's no doubt about it.
I think they actually diminish it by overhyping it. I really do.
He deserves a press conference.
Sure he does.
Let him have his moment in the sun. But Jesus H. Christ, enough already.
It really is overkill like I've never seen overkill. You know, I mean, a little balance here. You know what I mean?
And we should have taped it. You know, we debated. We had a meeting yesterday. Should we tape Michael Jordan's statement? And yesterday, I was so burned out on him that I said to Charlie Boyhill, don't even bother to set the VCR. I don't really care what he has to say.
Right.
But then when I was sitting watching it at home, I wish we had the tape so that we could, A, count the number of times he referred to himself in first person.
Right.
And second, we could count the many times he absolutely butchered the language.
Yeah, it was a lengthy press conference, and the thing that cracked me up the most in the press conference is that there were two or three of these obviously local guys that were asking these questions,
right.
And their voice
they
shaking,
sound so nervous,
shaking so out of control. Can you tell us what led up to your decision? Man, unbelievable.
Yeah.
But, of course, like every other sports fan, I was watching it.
Oh, well, there was nothing on any other channel.
I know. They had a total saturation.
Pretty much wall-to-wall. And you got to know that, listen, this press conference was announced 2 days ago.
Right.
They said it would be today, Wednesday, at 12 noon East Coast time.
Right.
12 noon comes. You got to know Michael Jordan was sitting behind that stage saying,
sure,
make him wait 20 minutes.
Sure, that's the ultimate showman. He knows how to do that,
right? I would have done that. I would have sat there and thought, yeah, I got the whole world on a string.
Of course. Hey, and that owner of the Chicago Bulls, there's a wet towel. My God, what was his deal?
Jerry Reinsdorf?
Yeah, Jerry Reinsdorf was just like, all right, Mike, oh, it's a sad day for the NBA, sad day for the Bulls. Where's the ring?
We had a little tape of him.
Oh, good.
Of Jerry Reinsdorf, the owner of the Chicago Bulls.
Ah, I wonder, in his speech?
Well, it was directly after the speech.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you saw when he left the stage.
Yes, he looked like he was in some sort of distress. Oh, we got a special microphone. There it is.
There he is. Jerry Reinsdorf. Right now he's contemplating, how am I going to replace the greatest basketball player of all time?
He's sick about it.
He is sick about it. Sounds like it.
Oh, dear.
Now he's thinking about all the empty seats. Now he's like, no Scottie Pippen. No Phil Jackson. Rodman's not coming back.
Nah, they're all not going to. They're not going to stay now that Michael's gone.
Now he's like the only guy he's got left is Tony Kukoc.
And he might not even stay.
Yeah, there you go, right there. There you go.
Wow.
Now the thought of 20,000 empty seats. That's what's really filling him up now.
Boy, I wish ESPN had him mic today. That would have been good.
Jerry Reinsdorf, everybody.
His unofficial statement. He's a little nervous about things.
This can't be right. Is this a guy from Georgia who really wants to give us a real Michael Jordan moment?
Oh, a real moment.
We're not about that. Hello?
Yeah, Radio Gods.
Yeah.
The McDonald ads with Larry Bird. The ones off the moon, over the wall, in the back door, yeah, with basketball. Those are great.
You know, that was a good commercial. There are lots of good Michael Jordan moments.
But we're really not doing a serious what is your favorite Michael Jordan moment bit.
We were doing our sarcastic, you know, cynical banter that we're known for.
God, I hate it when I have to explain stuff to people.
We know that.
No, you didn't know that because you called in to say that you love his McDonald's commercial.
We love him.
See, it doesn't fit the same theme. We know you love him. We offer balance on this show, you see.
We love him, too. But not as much as you.
See you later.
I really cannot believe how dense our audience is.
Some people just don't get the show.
Your skull is as thick as that statue of Michael Jordan outside the United Center.
Yeah, and that's made out of like iron or something.
Yeah, baby.
Jesus Christ.
Get out of here.
All right, hello. Don and Mike show.
I kind of have a reverse. It's a Michael Jordan sad moment. When Ahmad Rashad had to move out.
Out of his ass.
Yeah. You know, you did see that. That was sad when it showed Ahmad Rashad taking out the cot, the satellite.
He had just had the DSS dish installed in Michael. His DSS.
Ahmad Rashad, he was in a Bulls uniform that he had, actually one of those sweatsuits, and he was moving out of Michael Jordan's pillows.
Yeah, they had to take him out forcibly. He didn't want to leave.
No, he didn't want to go.
Mayflower truck parked out back.
Hello? Not a mic show.
Foxwoods branches, little Debbie takes her chances.
Foxwood branches, little Debbie takes her chances.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, it's Gangco.
Gangco, thank you, Buzz. Glad you're back. Glad you're back to fill us up on that.
The only man that can identify Gangco.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hey, I have another moment for you.
Haven't you seen Buzz's Gangco?
You don't want to hear this. You don't want to hear this moment. You don't want to hear this moment from this guy.
Haven't you seen Buzz's coat that he wears, the leather coat for his gang, the Colons?
Yeah,
hey,
we're tough.
The Colons.
We could blow up on you at any minute.
Yeah, but there's certain streets you can't go on.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hey, you guys get Esquire magazine?
Not hardly.
Well, we get at the office here, and there's a whole thing on the triumph of cleavage culture. There's also an article on that Elvis guy from yesterday. The building has left Elvis, it's called.
Oh, which, do you mean the author that walked out on us yesterday?
Yes. Peter Gerolnik.
Well, I'm a lot more interested in cleavage culture than I am in that author.
There's a picture of supermodel Heidi Klum on the cover that's worth buying the magazine.
Is that the girl that was on the Michael J. Fox show?
Yeah, she was one of the models, as a matter of fact.
There is nothing like great cleavage.
Mm.
What a set on that one.
You just got great cleavage, Jerry Reinsdorf.
Oh, fantastic, yeah.
When he's healthy.
He owns the Chicago Bulls. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, love you guys.
Hey, love you.
Thank you. I have my least favorite Michael Jordan moment, my anti-Michael Jordan moment.
Your anti-Michael Jordan moment. Well, you see, those might very well be your Michael Jordan moment. You don't have to say anti.
It'd probably be better said if it's your favorite Michael Jordan moment.
It was the number three person taken in the draft. And I grew up a Portland Trailblazers fan.
Come on, don't bore me with the serious. Don't bore me with the serious sports crap. Jeez, there's enough serious sports shows. Come on.
Oh, I'm not being serious about it. I've hated the Portland Trailblazers ever since Michael Jordan became the star he is.
Oh, Jesus. All right.
It's another suck up to Michael Jordan right there. It's a guy from the Portland Trailblazers said he's upset they didn't get him in the draft.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Flap, flap, flap of the doodad.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don.
And Mike.
Man, Mike. Hey, Buzz.
Hey.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
Can I ask you, I'm going to turn down my radio. I'm sorry, sir.
Trouble here.
You think
Yeah. Sorry about that. I had to get up from my office. Hey, what happened with yesterday's show? Why are you guys still doing those stupid Elvis shows?
I'd just like to get a little credit when I identify somebody as trouble in the first 5 seconds of the way. You can always tell by the tone, and it's a little small appendaged individual weasel that has that tone, and they're very easy to spot.
Yeah, well, first off, I'd like to give a shout out to Mike.
Thank you, Don. Mm-hmm.
To the Kreskin of this show.
Thank you.
And to you, I say, what do you care? If you don't like it, turn the radio off.
Oh, I did.
Well, you know, this is time for Michael Jordan moments, you see.
Oh, okay. Well,
you little troublemaker, you little weasel.
Show sucks, Don. Come on, get rid of that stupid Elvis.
Yeah, the show sucks, and that's why you listen and call.
Mistake.
That's why you listen and call every day.
Listen, if you're right, then we're going to lose all of our listeners one of these days, but it's never happened.
Not all of them. I mean, only on that day you guys do your Elvis
show. Well, if you didn't like the Elvis show yesterday, you should have just turned the radio off.
See, I did.
Like I'm doing right now. You know what? I don't like your phone call.
Oh, but I...
There he goes.
Turning your phone call off.
Bravo!
You stupid jackass.
Bravo!
Jesus, eat me.
Knew he was trouble from the... It's always that tone, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me turn my radio down, sir.
Eat my bung.
I'm serious about that. Well, I know you are. Wouldn't we all like to really see that? Wouldn't that be good? No, maybe not. Maybe just some produce.
Get a spoon so you can get every last drop. My chunky style bung. Jesus.
Use a spoon.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Listen, anybody doesn't like anything on the show. I've said this over and over again.
Right.
I don't care if you think I have an inflated opinion of myself, which I do. I don't care. If you don't like anything on the show, change the channel.
But don't call.
Yeah, right.
Knock it off.
Get off my cloud.
Let us do our job.
Hello?
This is our job, and let us do it.
Hello?
Hello. This is Jay from Oakland, California, listening to you on KHDK.
Why
are we applauding that?
You know, Rob started it, and then I just, for whatever reason, joined in because he said Jay, this is Jay from Oakland, California, and I felt
really,
like giving him a round of applause.
All right, Iron Jay, what do you want?
My quote-unquote favorite Michael Jordan moment probably has to be those Hanes commercials where the two women are asking if their boxers are briefs, and he leaves us wondering... without knowing what they really...
Okay, let me just stop for a second. Does everybody understand that when we came on and I said my favorite Michael Jordan moment was when we almost saw the video of him with the porno star, Mike said...
You stole the thunder because it was such a good one. You had the best one.
Well, look, yours was great when you said you'd be glad when the 24 hours is up.
That's true.
Buzz came through saying Space Jam. Right. Does everybody understand? We were being sarcastic. Hello,
Jay.
Jay from Oakland, do you understand that?
Yes, I do.
All right, Jay. We're just trying to keep the theme going here.
Yeah, so am I.
All right. Oh, Jay, my sinus headache is getting worse.
All right.
There he goes. Oh,
geez, oh, man.
Ma! Ma!
Come on, Felix.
Ma! Ma!
Don on my show.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike. Hey, Buzz.
Hey, buddy.
This is Max. I have a different topic for you.
Good. You know what? As of right now, I'm going to ban Michael Jordan's name from the show because it's apparent that our audience just can't keep up with our breakneck, cynical pace.
Unfortunately, Don, they are unable to compete with the tidal wave of ass-kissing that is going on
now. Turn on any other show because I'm sure you'll be able to call up. I'm sure all of the other shows are seriously doing, your favorite Michael Jordan moment. We can call and talk about his commercials and all that other hooey.
Jesus. Come on. Hooey. Hooyah.
Take this moment to explain to all the people out there who don't understand how people like you and I can get the job done when we're on the toilet without looking. It's simple.
Somebody who's going back to another regular theme that we have.
We fold without looking. We fold and refold so that only clean tissue touches our bung.
Okay.
All right.
You don't fold, though, don't you crinkle?
I'm a crinkler.
Yeah, you're crinkling.
You crinkle without looking.
You crinkle like I crinkle, which is keeping the most away from the, you actually, it's a very wasteful way to
Yes, and I crinkle, and there's always the chance that the toilet's going to overflow because I always take way too much toilet paper when I crinkle.
The water-saving commode, and I built a house a couple of years ago, and now they all have to have those kind of toilets. There's a black market, apparently, for toilets that you can get out of Canada that have that are the big ones that have the water, and I'd love to know how to get one.
No surprise, that comes from Canada.
The real toilet.
The black market toilet from Canada.
Brown market.
Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike. Good afternoon.
Hey, Baldy.
Hey, were you guys watching the Music Awards when they did the close-up on Leanne Rimes' cleavage?
Does she have good cleavage?
She had stretch marks.
Really?
Over it.
Oh. Really?
I'm not kidding you. It was unbelievable. And I said, hey, did you see that, Ingrid?
is my wife. She goes, no, and they
do. Your wife, Ingrid?
Your wife's
Ingrid.
Name is really Ingrid?
My wife's name is really Ingrid.
Hey, Ingrid, baby. Oh. Ingrid. Baby. Ingrid, baby.
She is Swedish.
Oh, that's cool. Is she really sweet from Sweden?
No, but her mother still has an accent.
Does she have the Swedish look?
Yeah, she's...
That Nordic look, you mean?
Oh, yeah, that Swedish look.
Yeah, she's got the Swedish eyes, no doubt.
The look of Gene Kasem? Casey Kasem's wife. Remember when we met her? Casey Kasem is like 4 feet tall, and his wife could play in the Lesbian Basketball Association, the WNBA, because she's like 8 feet tall.
Big, strong, strapping
woman. Mm-hmm.
Big Xena type woman Casey Kasem is married to.
Right.
Well, Ingrid's probably about 5'8", 5'9". She's pretty tall.
A soft spot in my heart. I dated in high school, I dated the Swedish foreign exchange student, and then was unceremoniously dumped because she liked Bobby Hunter.
So you didn't get anything off her?
Nothing. No,
what did you get off her?
I didn't get anything off her.
What'd you get
really
off
trying.
Her?
And you know the night she dumped me? Was the night I thought I was going to get something off her.
Oh, wow.
Oh. All we did was kiss. And then right after we kissed, maybe that's because I was a bad kisser or something, because she said right afterwards, I would like to date you, but I would really like to go out with Bobby Hunter. And
That's why Mike has spent the last 20 years trying to track down Bobby Hunter.
Yes. I'll find him one of these days.
All right.
God.
You were calling about Leanne Rimes. Gotcha. Thank you.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The important thing tonight is for every young comedian to know that you have a great life ahead of you if you'll do what I did. And what I did was I demanded from myself the very best. I wouldn't settle for less than perfection. And although I wish I could do it all over again, the third thing that's vital is to think funny. Don't take yourself too seriously. Enjoy your life and those around you and see what you can do to give them a laugh once in a while. I thank all of you for allowing me to keep the child in me alive and to be able to do the silly things that I've done. I do hope I'll be around to give you a laugh sometime in the future. Good night. Thank you.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hi, friends. It's me, Charlie Broyhill. And even though I'm not known for my talking, there's something I've just got to say. Thanks for listening to the best of Don and Mike. Even though I just got married, I still have all of my priorities in order, and I know the number one priority is listening to the best of Don and Mike. Otherwise, how will you know the answer to the trivia question that Don and Mike will ask when they come back? See, you got to listen, because in the best of lies the answer. Well, my name isn't Charlie Broyhill. And thanks for listening. Yes, you, to the best of Don and Mike.
Squeeze them like toothpaste and brush your teeth with their love. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
The best of Don and Mike Show.
Hi, this is Elrio X. Just calling to see if you're going to have Jesse Ventura on now that he's governor of Minnesota.
Yeah, I'll just pick up the phone and call him up because he'll take my call.
He could.
Huzzah.
When are you guys coming back to Austin?
I don't know, sir. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hopefully after we get our new deal, after we leave Westwood One, the Westwood One Network.
Jesse the Body will visit Austin when he runs for president.
I saw him, I guess it was on C-SPAN one night when we were on vacation. He's a very honest man. He's not the brightest man in the world, but he's very honest. And he was discussing why he had to sell coffee mugs and T-shirts. You know, he's like doing all the crap that we won't do.
Sure.
You know, Mike and I get approached by guys all the time saying, listen, if you guys would, like, put your faces on coffee mugs, you guys could make, like, $4 a coffee mug.
Sure.
You said, you know, hey, I drink my coffee with Don and Mike and stuff. And we always say, no, that stuff is beneath us.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want to do T-shirts. We don't want to do satin jackets. We don't want to do coffee mugs. Yet here is the governor of Minnesota on C-SPAN.
Governor of Minnesota.
And he was explaining that since the time he got elected,
Right.
To now, he's had no income source, no way to make money.
And he wants the first lady of Minnesota, his wife, to get a salary because she's going to have to, like, leave her horse ranch or something.
Yeah, his biker wife.
Yeah, yeah, she's going to have to give up that income from training horses or doing whatever she does. So he wants to give her some money.
It was surreal watching this. First off, they're treating him on C-SPAN like he's a real political type.
Right, right. He's
right.
Governor
right.
Now.
They got the guy sitting there with his legs crossed in that girly way, the guy that's asking him the questions like on Masterpiece Theater. And he's going, tell me, Governor, the T-shirts, the satin jackets, the coffee mugs... Well, I gotta make money. Crack me up.
I have to make my living like everybody else. We're all Minnesotans. Huzzah.
But I tell you, that guy is honest. I heard him saying that.
And he's not an idiot as far as the people he's surrounding himself with. He's actually putting together a group of people, like all great idiot politicians. You know, when they surround themselves by the guys that do the nuts and bolts work,
right.
You can pull it off.
He was saying, Hulk Hogan, what do you think of Hulk Hogan? They said, Hulk Hogan's a phony.
Right.
He wants to be president because I'm governor. He doesn't have anywhere near the qualification. And then they said, what about Arnold Schwarzenegger? And on the screen, they showed when he was being sworn in on New Year's Day.
Right.
Arnold was there, right, with his big jingle all the way grin.
Arnold, who now, with his inflated opinion of himself, now thinks this is his ticket.
But what Jesse Ventura said was, first off, he said, Arnold Schwarzenegger's a good movie actor. He likes money way too much to ever be in politics. He's not qualified to be in politics.
Oh, good for him.
And furthermore, he wasn't born in this country, so he could never be president.
Right.
I mean, he was pretty much dissing him, while at the same time they were showing him earlier in the day at his big swearing-in ceremony, where he was like... hugging Arnold Schwarzenegger and patting him on the back and everything.
I was watching, they're running some of Jesse Ventura's movies, his incredible film resume. Right.
Predator.
There's one that is like a takeoff on The Exorcist. I'm not sure what it's called, but it had Leslie Nielsen, and he was performing The Exorcism with Linda Blair, who did the cameo, and I guess Jesse Ventura was over on the side, like, offering commentary when Linda Blair had the green makeup and turned into an ice cream cone and was just saying, lick me. And he was, like, offering commentary. I said, hey, there's one of Jesse Ventura's finest film credits.
I also caught him in Batman and Robin, the last Batman movie, the one with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Mr. Freeze.
Right.
When they bring Mr. Freeze into the asylum, where he's got just a tiny bit of cold air and he can't move out of the cold air, Jesse Ventura is one of the cops that's standing there going, you can't make it outside. You got to be here where it's cold, Freeze.
So glad he's governor because he's given us so much. He really and keeps on giving. That's great.
Seven pictures dug in like an Alabama tick. You're hit. You're bleeding, man. I ain't got time to bleed.
And that's what he was having printed on all these T-shirts that he was selling.
I ain't got time to bleed.
Ain't got time to bleed.
There he is. And I'm bald now.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike. The name of the movie that Mike was trying to think of is Repossessed.
Repossessed. That's
right. Leslie Nielsen, right.
It was great. I forgot. And he had some really dirty line. If we can get our hands on it, that's all over cable. It's a good line.
Did you see any pictures of his biker wife who looks like 20 miles of bad road?
With the jet black, long, shoulder-length hair, like going down halfway down her back?
His whole rap was, he was saying, well, I've been married to the same woman for 22 years. And they had these pictures up on screen.
Right.
It's like him and her with, like, rotting animal carcasses in the background and skulls and crossbones. And in one of these pictures, she's got the permed-out hair, and she's got on just one, like, a Billy Idol vest. You know what Billy Idol used to wear, like, just a leather vest?
Sure, that's the big look for biker chicks, and now she is the first lady of Minnesota.
Hello, Donna Meister. She had, like, three teeth in her head at the time.
Hi there.
Hello.
Kiss me.
Donna Meister.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, welcome back. Hey, I just had a... You still have Rudy on your show this year, right?
Yes, every year Rudy Martzke will be on our show.
I want to think on Rudy.
You want to do what on him?
I want to think on Rudy.
Think on him for what?
Did you say that he wasn't allowed to do radio talk shows for other stations?
Yeah, generally he's not allowed to, right?
Well, he's going to be on a major show tonight in San Francisco. They're advertising he's going to be on tonight, Rudy Martzke.
You gotta love our audience, don't you?
They'll rat anybody out.
They're the biggest bunch of thinks in the world. No, I love that about you. I mean that as a compliment.
No, because I just thought that you're paying them big money, and if I had a person in my employee, I would want to know what my employees, especially when he promised he wouldn't do it last time when he was in the sports babe.
Is he going to be on a local station in San Francisco?
Well, it's
a local show, or is it a syndicated show?
Well, no, it's local, but they're also ESPN syndicate.
Well, is it local or national?
It's a local show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, what, the station is affiliated with ESPN?
That's correct.
So listen, it's a local show he's going on.
It's a sports talk show.
Listen, I really don't care because when... Frankly, when Rudy goes on other shows,
He's
very boring. He's not the same as he is on our show.
Well, I was going to try to get on tonight, so I could, talk.
Well, no, I forgot what the rule was, too, when we convened the kangaroo court. There was some, I know that there were certain shows we didn't want him to go on.
Like the sports page.
That was the show, that's right.
Sports page, right.
Yeah. I just remember distinctly you saying, you're not going to do that again, right?
Well, you know what? Maybe you should call that show.
I'm going to try to get on.
Call him tonight in San Francisco and bust his balls a little bit and then call us back tomorrow and play us the tape.
I'm going to put it on a tape recorder and talk about, like, the dog food, just, to give the other side of Mr. Martsky.
That's good, especially if he's trying to be serious, Rudy.
Correct.
And then ask him if he likes Dick, and maybe he'll say,
yeah, I love Dick. Yeah, we'll do that, okay? And I'll tape it for now, but I'll put it back on you tomorrow.
All right, well, yeah, please do. I'd like to hear that.
Okay.
I can get myself worked up about something.
I know you
can. Think about it long enough.
Sure.
Now that I think about it, I think, we do pay that guy a salary.
We do?
He's your employee, and he should be loyal to you guys.
Yes, goddammit, you're okay. Right.
Here, here.
You give him written permission.
Off with his head.
Written permission should be required.
Yes.
I think so.
Where's my Tickle Me Rudy doll?
Hey, how about that Carol Crow?
There you go. It's a Tickle Me Rudy.
Goodbye.
All right, goodbye. Thanks for ratting him out.
Yeah, I think that's the rule. I don't think he's allowed to go on other shows.
I don't remember exactly what the punishment was. But the
I think the last time he did something like that, wasn't that when we had both he and Dennis Murphy eating dog food at the same time?
I believe so. We punished Rudy so many times, and we punished Dennis so many times. It's starting to get blurry.
We still owe Dennis one. We still owe Dennis Murphy the horse meat.
Horse meat, if we can find it.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike. Welcome back.
Hey, my friend.
Hey, Don, with the new CD, have you given any thought to the new Barry White tribute?
Barry White's birthday only comes once a year, but listen, that CD is going to get a workout next Tuesday for Elvis's birthday show.
Oh, the possibilities are endless.
Man, a lot of people are getting into that already.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don, Mike, how's it going? This is Dave from
Washington. Yes, Dave.
I just wanted to let you know, did you hear on the Monday Night Football game, Al Michaels was coming back from a commercial, and Dan Dierdorf mentioned something about Boston College, and Al Michaels dropped the S-bomb.
Al Michaels said the S word?
Yeah, coming back from the commercial.
How did he, and use the letter, how did he say it?
Oh, he just said no S. Because he was mentioning something.
Was that
Boston College.
Was that the last Monday night game of the year, the Jacksonville-Pittsburgh? You know what I noticed during that game? They were doing the name game at the end of the game.
Really? I think maybe the boys had a little Christmas party before the telecast?
You know what? I can't remember what it was, but one of them said something blah, 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 and then the other... something blah blah blah, just like us. And then Al Michaels said something like,
"Hey, stream of consciousness. It's the last game of the year. We'll be right back." And I've become comfortable now with the relationship between Boomer Esiason and Dan Dierdorf. I now would be disappointed if they didn't bust on each other during those telecasts, because it's kind of fun to listen to now.
Maybe they did let their guard down. I'd love to have a tape of Al Michaels saying the S word, though.
Hey, no S.
I think during they realized that they were coming back from commercial.
No S. Do you believe? Even miracles, no S. I heard it when they were talking about running a lineman being able to run a wind sprint or run a 100-yard dash.
Yeah.
And Dan Dierdorf was saying, I bet that quarterback couldn't run a 100-yard dash. That would be very difficult. And then Boomer came back with something like, well, I could beat you in a 100-yard dash. And I waited and waited because, it was that direct confrontation. The entire TV viewing audience is waiting for the response. And all Dierdorf came back with was, yes. You probably could beat me in a 100-yard dash.
I'm reading Boomer Esiason's book right now.
Oh, really?
My wife got me this book for Christmas called Toss by Boomer Esiason. Mm. And I'm sure when she bought it, she thought it was like the standard athlete writes a book about his life.
Is that the one that's got the picture of him standing over the commode, hurling?
No.
No, okay. All right. I guess that was the old cover.
Different Toss. Once I started to read the book, I realized it's fiction.
Right.
It's dirty as hell.
Really?
And it's very well written. And then you see in very small print on the back cover that there's a ghostwriter.
Okay.
So, like, Boomer Esiason told this guy that writes a bunch of mystery novels and stuff, like inside stuff about the NFL.
Sure.
But it's
like totally not written by Boomer Esiason, because it's got all this stuff about like girls taking their tops off.
And really?
How beautiful this girl's breasts are.
So is it based around football? Is it
a fictional New York City NFL team?
Very good.
Yeah.
You know, there's got to be a little truth there in those fiction pages too.
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of stuff about race and stuff. Bunch of really cool stuff. I'm sure Boomer Esiason had nothing to do with it.
Highly controversial.
It's a good book, man.
You don't think he could put pen to paper and put that out himself? I have to have they all do, don't they? All the professional athletes have to have the ghostwriter.
Yeah, but this wasn't like one of those books. Like, when I won the Heisman Trophy, right, I was so proud. This is like she walked in the room and...
Her titanic orbs.
A fun flesh. Her ruby red nipples.
By Boomer Esiason.
Hello. I'll bring that book in this week, and I'll read you part of it.
So it's really a little nasty.
Highly erotic.
Very good.
The book is called Toss.
Toss.
My salad.
By Boomer Esiason. It's a picture of him in prison blues.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing, Don and Mike? Glad to have you back.
Hey, thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to say on Al Michaels saying the F word, also on ABC when they had the one of the bowl games, the coach for Texas A&M said it and just kept on going about it on the air, and they said it was a Freudian slip, but it was kind of funny to hear it go twice that week on ABC. Let it slip by twice.
Hey, did you see the last Keith Jackson game when he said F-U-F ball?
Yeah, to Bob Greasy, right? I heard him say,
whoa, Billy, F-U-F ball. Thank you, thank you. Hey, Keith Jackson, signing off, F-U-F ball.
Oh, he made me laugh so much he just ran into the microphone.
The Crimson Tide of Alabama. There we go, F-U-F ball.
Hello. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, I'm Effer.
Hey, Bobby.
This is Keith Jackson.
Hello, this is Keith Jackson. Looks like it's going to be a super effing game today, so you better have your effing playing shoes on today.
Oh, Nelly, you greasy sea sucker.
Yes, sir, real excited about this game. Almost excited as when I'm thinking about tickle bitties. This is Keith Jackson, ABC.
Perry Hussey. Oh, Nelly.
Oh, Nelly. Oh, Nelly, and I'd like to say to all the people at ABC, from Keith Jackson to you, a big F you, and your families too. So long. It's been a great ride.
Hello. Oh. Hello.
Hey, Bobby.
Hey, buddy.
Dad, you guys are hilarious. I'm just thrilled to have you guys.
Does Keith Jackson say hi to all the kippy drunts out there? Oh, Nelly, all you kippy drunts.
Oh, Nelly, we're in dangerous territory now. We don't do this game real well. Very dangerous. Oh, F. Yes, everybody at ABC. Specials, guys, we're not on strike. What a bunch of effers.
Hello.
In the last year, a tough one.
Hi, what do you want, sir?
Just too much.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for participating.
Right, see you later. Listen, you know, we haven't even talked about our vacations yet.
No.
I haven't mentioned the fact that I went skiing and once again injured myself wearing a knee brace today.
One of those big old knee braces.
Pissery from that Nebraska Cornhuskers injury.
I also met some celebrities, of course, because we go out there to Colorado.
That's where they all are at that time of the year, and I'm dying to know that because I don't even know that. You never tell me in the offices. You want to tell me on the air.
I met three really big celebrities.
Ooh.
One of them I just said hello to as he walked by.
Okay.
The other one I logged some time with on a ski lift. He was a huge dick.
Good! Mm.
And the other one was very nice, and I spent some time in the hot tub with him and his family.
Really?
Yes.
One of those big giant ones they have at the ski places?
Yep, and we were the only ones in there.
No, you know, you weren't. Was it a big one, or was it a small one where you could touch feet?
No, it was a big one.
Okay.
Clothing optional, however. We're all nude.
We're effing nude. Effing nude, yes, sir. Having a good time. This is Keith Jackson in a Colorado hot tub, sitting here with a big celebrity, rubbing feet. Boy, oh boy. I'm so glad we're naked. Who blew the bubble?
F you. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Spain owned Cuba outright. Think about it. Cuba owned by a disorganized parliament over 4,000 miles away. Cubans were in a constant state of revolt.
In 1904,
The United States decided to throw a little weight around and, who is it?
The pizza guy.
Again?
Mr. Pizza Guy, sir.
Four of the double cheese and sausage. Right here it is. Am I hallucinating here? Just what in the hell do you think you're doing?
Learning about Cuba. Having some food.
Mr. Spicoli, you're on dangerous ground here. You're causing a major disturbance on my time.
You know, I've been thinking about this, Mr. Hand. If I'm here and you're here, doesn't that make it our time? We certainly did nothing wrong with a little feast on our time.
You're absolutely right, Mr. Spicoli. It is our time. Yours, mine, and everyone else's in this room. But it is my class. Hamilton, Brandt, Kornfeld, up front. Mr. Spicoli has been kind enough to bring us a snack. And be my guest. Help yourselves. Get a good one.
The Don and Mike Show. Broadcasting from between two pillows, the Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don and Mike Show.
Hi. I have a question to tell you. Well, actually, I'm trying to correct you. I don't mean to be rude or anything.
Well, let me... Hold on a second. Let Mike choke up whatever he is, and let me correct you, because you said you had a question to tell us.
Well, that is true. What I meant to say is, when you all were talking about Jurassic Park earlier, like a while ago, and you were bringing up that guy was sitting on the toilet taking a crap, he was not. His pants are on. They are green shorts that he has on.
Honey.
Yes.
Listen.
Mm-hmm.
F you. How nitpicky.
The movie doesn't mean you need
He's sitting on the toilet.
How nitpicky can our audience possibly be?
But well, technically, Dom was right. He's sitting on the toilet.
How do you know?
His pants around his ankles, and they were not on.
What?
On. How can his pants be around his ankle if they're on his body?
Was he not sitting on the toilet?
Yes, he was, but he wasn't taking a crap.
How do you know he wasn't crapping in his pants?
And when he saw that T-Rex, he was crapping in his pants.
Crapping.
Honey, why do you call us with this piddly ass... I almost said the S word.
Because it's just, when you all said that, it really,
I got to be honest with you. We make so many more mistakes that are more significant than that.
No.
Oh, yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
Other than that, you all do fine. It's just when you did that, that was.
But wait a minute. Was he not sitting on the toilet?
Yes, he was sitting on the toilet.
Okay.
That's it. That's
but his pants were not around his ankles.
I think they were around his ankles.
No, they weren't.
Yes, they were.
Okay. What do you want? I will bring you all the tape so you can watch.
Nope.
That is not around his ankles. Because when the dinosaur picks him up.
Honey, let it go. Let it go. I'll give it to you. Fine.
Okay.
Man, not taking a crap. Okay. Fine.
No, he was taking. He might have been taking a crap. Huh. My thing is that his pants weren't around his ankles.
Well, my thing is that I think you're a lady with needs.
Needs that aren't being met.
Oh, no, my needs are very met. Nope. Very much. Oh, yes, they are.
I'm going to tell you something. A lady whose needs were met would not be so concerned about one scene in a movie and one comment on a radio show made about one scene in a movie.
A lady whose needs were met would be sitting at her computer terminal right now just going, la, 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 la,
that woman wouldn't have been hitting redial for an hour.
Right.
Trying to call to correct that mistake.
No, I just called once. It was easy
to get
in.
You would be sitting there with a big grin on your face just going, la, 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 la.
When's the last time you had some meat?
Last night, actually.
Oh, come on. I don't mean plastic meat. I mean real meat.
No.
You know, man meat.
It was real meat. He's probably listening to now at his work.
I don't believe you.
Me either.
Would you like to call him at work?
Sure.
He's probably listening now on his radio.
We might as well.
Installing radios.
Sure, hold on a second. Robbie, get this lady's number of the man that she gets her meat from.
That poor man. I feel sorry for that guy already.
Call him, just tell him to run. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, keep killing me!
That's what I should have said to that lady. Keep killing me.
Keep killing me.
Jesus Christ.
Keep killing me. I'm trying to remember that movie, and I distinctly remember the guy. The outhouse kind of falls apart.
Right.
And he's sitting there doing his business.
Right.
We think.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Rob, were you shaking your head?
Because he flees.
He what?
He runs in there for cover, so he's not in there long enough to be taking a crap. But
he's hiding from the T-Rex when he goes in there.
He ran from
But listen, the guy's sitting on the crapper.
Wasn't he sitting in there? Right. He was cowering in there.
Sitting on the crapper.
Minor detail.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
By the way, something. Why are you kidding?
Don't say that to me. Say that to that lady.
I don't know, man.
Holiday tension.
Oh, boy.
That's what her problem is. Right, holiday tension.
I'm going to call her old man right now.
Good. See if he ever gets a word in edgewise. See if he ever wins an argument.
I wonder if she corrects him a lot.
I want to tell him to lay a little more pipe.
The number you have dialed.
Or maybe his wife will stop calling and hassling us.
What's your hassle, man? You know, it's a bad omen. When I had that coughing fit, when I sucked the water down into my lungs, I should have known.
I'll call him and go, what's your fee to keep your wife from calling the show?
His wife, he's in the process right now negotiating with those two guys to go pay her a visit.
What's your fee?
She'll tear the shower curtain down. Then run through the snow in her socks.
And eventually she'll be laying dead with a potato sack over her while one of her kidnappers watches soap operas.
5-9-5.
Okay, hold on, hold on. Oh, my God.
0-1 is not in service.
All right, hold on. What am I doing? Hello?
Hey, guys.
Is it, who's this? Is this the husband?
No, it can't be. I just picked up another line. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey. How you guys doing, man?
Hey, we're doing fine.
Hey, what time is it over there?
What time is it?
Who the hell are you calling from, Australia?
Hey, no, I'm calling from Sweden.
Oh, you are not calling from Sweden.
F you.
All the way from Sweden to say that.
On this show, that's a valid response.
Of course. You know, if you're backed into a corner, always works for us.
Yeah, I respect that. I was a member of ABBA calling us.
5-9-5.
Hey, honey.
It's 5-9-5.
Hold on. Hey. You don't want to yell it out on the radio.
Hold on. Just tell me what. Don't give out the whole number. Tell me what's wrong with the number you gave Rob.
It's switch 0166.
0166.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Hold on. Ugh. Oh, love of God. It's because it was on the network TV. We wouldn't have had this discussion, but you know, everybody just seen it in the theater.
City. For store hours and directions, please press 1.
Hit 4.
To speak to a sales counselor.
Hit 4, okay. Right.
Thank you, Robin.
Please hold.
Beauty. Beauty, eh?
He works in retail, this poor sucker.
Installs radios, I guess.
Well, I hope he doesn't have to deal with the customers.
I hope he's just out there, you know, putting radios in.
You just take care of your wife.
Mm-hmm.
We'd have a little less heartache on this show.
Circuit City Roadshow for same-day installations guaranteed. John speaking, how may I help you?
Yes, hello, John. This is the Don and Mike Radio Show. We're looking for Steve. Is he around there?
Yes, he is. Hold on.
Thank you.
Very good. Perhaps they are listening. If they're installing radios, perhaps they're listening to the radios right now.
All right, now I got another guy on the phone who says he's reading the book Jurassic Park, and the guy is taking a crap.
Well, that's good.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, Steve?
Yeah.
This is Don and Mike. Hold on a second, sir.
Hold on a second.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello?
Hey.
How you doing?
Is this the guy with the book?
I've read the book.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
And in the book, he is taking a crap.
All right, but what about in the movie? We need the definitive in the movie if he's taking a crap or not.
He ran in there, but he was just, they didn't want to show that in the movie.
Well, when the Human Encyclopedia said that, I guess we got to figure that's a go.
All right, let's go back to Steve now. Steve.
Yeah.
Steve, this is Don and Mike, and we're on the radio right now.
What's up?
Hi, sir. Listen, I got a question for you. It's kind of a personal question. Please don't take offense at this.
All right.
When's the last time you had sex with your wife? We're not playing like one of our funny radio games right now.
We're just curious.
2 nights ago.
She told us that she had some last night. And I want to tell you something right now. Your wife is butt annoying. And I wish that you would give her more so her needs are met.
So she wouldn't call and hassle us about Jurassic Park and something we said that wasn't quite right. So, you know, we figured if it had really been last night, then she might not have called us today. But, you know,
because that was our first thought. Mm-hmm. She called. Now, let me ask you another question. Is she on the rag right now?
Not that I know of.
Okay. Well, I believe Aunt Flo might be paying a visit very soon. I got a sixth sense about things like that. I'm like a dog. I can smell blood.
Does she win most of the arguments in your house?
What's that?
Does she win most of the arguments that you guys have?
No.
She doesn't.
Really? Well, then maybe you can tell her to stop bothering us with these petty calls. I'm going to conference the lines together. Here's the deal. About an hour or so ago, we're playing a game where we're giving away a Furby.
Yeah. We're having parents, like, battle out against each other.
Yeah.
And I make a comment about Jurassic Park. Say, I want the people to be like the dinosaurs, you know, very carnivorous. They want right. to kill their opponents. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned in Jurassic Park, where the guy's sitting on the commode, mm-hmm. taking a crap, dinosaur knocks the building down and eats the guy. Right?
Yeah, I remember that.
Right. Well, your wife...
Oh, she calls and she wants to lay it into us.
Mrs. Helper, she wants to call and she wants to say... the guy wasn't really taking a crap.
Right.
Doesn't that seem like a small, insignificant point to you?
And yeah. she was relentless. Is she like that when she wants to make a point?
Yes.
So immediately, first thing we say, her needs must not be being met.
And then she says, you can ask my husband. We had some last night.
Yeah, I said, when's the last time you had some meat? And she said, last night.
So she said, you can call him. So we called you, and you said it was two nights ago.
Yeah, actually, it was two nights ago.
Ah, right. two nights All right. ago.
Let me put her on.
Then. Yeah. Oh, but hey. He's in trouble.
Hey.
Hey, Miss Hamburger Helper.
Yeah, two nights ago.
Hamburger Helper, that's nasty stuff.
Two nights ago.
So, wasn't last night.
Actually,
somebody
was
wasn't being honest.
I'm sorry. Was not last night. It was the night before that we had.
Did I hear, and I'm sorry?
Yes, I am sorry. I was wrong.
Oh, very nice. And I think Steve wanted to tell you something, didn't you, Steve?
Something about the Jurassic Park.
Didn't you want to... Hold on a second. Hold on a second there, honey. Listen, why don't you tell your wife to shut her big fat yap and never call us with this kind of crap again. I thought you were the man.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I forgot.
Okay. Assert yourself, Steve.
All right, good. Put her back on.
All right, here she is. He wants to say something to you, ma'am.
I think he better not.
All right. Oh. You calling Don and Mike?
I was trying to win our daughter a Furby.
That's all I do. They got other things they got to worry about.
There you go, Steve.
They were having a contest.
Honey,
I was trying to win.
Honey, that was an hour ago. You called just to bust balls.
Actually, I wasn't busting balls.
I was listening to Don and Mike last night, and I heard them talking about they didn't want people calling for stupid stuff.
What was that sound?
What was that?
Furby.
What was that?
What was it? Were you drinking something?
Oh, I was drinking Coke.
Did you just slurp it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's disgusting. I think we need another apology for our listeners.
I'm so sorry.
Everybody heard that.
All right, Steve.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. We've been interrupting you. Please put your woman in line.
Oh, please.
Come on, come on. Tell her what for
now. On a mic.
Right.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're going to go OJ on her, right? Otherwise, you go with a big knife and stab her.
We can do that. I got a nice Kershaw.
Because she just won't listen.
I do listen. I apologize.
All right. Thank you. Thank you both.
All right.
Steve.
Stay by.
Thank you, my friend Steve.
All right. Thank
you. You kids go home and make a baby tonight.
I don't know about that.
Have one. That's all we need.
Have one.
All right. All right. Bye-bye. Give her what she needs, sir.
All right.
How old's the baby?
She will be three in September.
3 years old, okay.
Give her what she needs, and she won't come knocking on our door anymore, okay?
All right.
Thank you, Steve. That. Steve, her buddy.
Steve, you're our man. Way to go, buddy.
Hi, man.
He's a good guy.
Very brave man, that Steve is.
He certainly is.
Slaves all day long, sticking radios in cars, and then has to come home to that.
I go down to my computer.
You know what that goes like? Seriously, really tough.
Steve! Steve! You're wrong again! Steve!
Yeah.
Steve! He wasn't taking care of crabs in Jurassic Park, see? Steve!
I understand, honey.
Steve!
I understand, honey.
Steve, I want to call down a mic. Where's my phone?
Steve.
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 Hello.
Hello?
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, this is Donna.
Hello, Donna.
Hello, Donna.
Hello. I'm calling because I'm officially now a second-time caller.
Huh?
What?
Well, the first time I called and I was a first-time caller, you got on me about it. So you said we'll call back when you have a second-time caller.
Is that a big grandfather clock that you're standing next to?
No.
Listen, if we're all quiet here, we can hear the tick-tock, tick-tock.
I heard it too.
Yeah.
No, that's my turn signal. I'm in my car.
Oh, it's your turn signal.
Oh, no, you don't. That's your biological clock ticking, I believe. I don't think your needs are being met either, honey.
Oh, yes, they are.
No, I don't. When's the last time you had some man meat?
Last night.
Really?
That's what they all say.
They all say that to us.
Yes, last night.
Yeah. Okay, thanks for checking in, Donna.
Thank you.
Hey, we appreciate the second call.
Well, thank you. You helped my... you help me drive home. No, you just make it better.
Thank you, Donna.
Now, Rob, there's no need for that sarcastic laugh.
Hello, Donna, Mike Show.
So, I guess that was your accomplice back there on the woodchipper taking a crap.
Little Fargo. Everybody loves the movie Fargo.
Yeah. What's your fee?
And I don't think the word accomplice, maybe it was. I don't want to get into that.
I don't think that word was used in the movie Fargo.
I don't think so. That's your accomplice. I think it was your buddy.
Hello, that's it.
I guess that's
right.
Your buddy back there in the wood chipper.
Because she calls him little buddy maybe later,
right.
But she definitely says buddy.
Little fella.
Hello, Donna. Mike, that's what she says. Hello.
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 Hey, you know what all battered women have in common?
No, come on.
Oh, now stop it.
I can't make one joke about OJ. Everybody's got to call in now. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
I think Steve could use some number 4 lead pencils in his stocking this Christmas.
There you go. See, I've been listening to the whole show today.
Sure. Yeah.
Heard when G. Gordon told how to kill someone with a number 4 lead pencil.
Tied it all together.
Beautiful.
There you go.
Thank you, sir.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. Goodbye. We'll
be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I flopped the nut straight.
Motherfucker! You blew your nut! Motherfucker! That is it!
That's it!
What the f*** are you talking about? That's it! Take it back, eh? Yes! No more! No! Not tonight! This son of a bitch all night, he... Chick! He trapped me!
Well, you feeling satisfied now, Teddy? Because I can go on busting you up all night.
Yes. Yes. He beats me. Straight up. Pay that man his money.
The Don and Mike Show. Time for more great skits. Here's Don and Mike.
Let's have the boys fight first, okay?
Let's meet Paul.
I'm Paul.
Paul and his son, PJ. Hello, is this, we'll talk to the dad first. Is this Paul?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Paul. Where are you calling from?
Fredericksburg, Virginia.
Thank you for listening to the show on Big Old WJFK. Now, your son, PJ, how old is he?
7.
7. And does he want a Furby badly?
Yes, he does. And he's a very old 7.
All right. He's a very mature 7. And he realizes, of course, you've explained it to him that, if he doesn't win, you're going to, he's still going to have a good Christmas, right?
Yeah, he's got his, we've already got the Christmas taken care of.
Okay, that's right. Good.
And have you explained the concept of the cage match to your son?
Oh, yes.
All right, let's meet our next contestant, Mike.
All righty.
The mom is Tracy.
Tracy.
And the son is Brandon, who is 8. Hello, is this Tracy?
This is Tracy.
Hi, Tracy. Where are you calling from?
Taylor, South Carolina.
Thank you.
We have a 7-year-old and an 8-year-old. That's good.
Yeah. Thank you for listening. WPEK, right?
Uh-huh.
WPEK-FM in Greenville, South Carolina. Now, your son, Brandon, you say he's 8?
Uh-huh.
What grade is he in?
He's in the second grade.
Second grade. Have you explained the concept of the cage match to him?
I'm not really sure.
What do you mean?
What is the concept? He has the... What is he going to be doing?
No, we're not going to let you off the hook, honey. No. You actually does. You just explain what you think it is.
Okay, he has to argue for a Furby.
Yes, with another little boy.
Yeah, uh-huh. Absolutely. That's exactly what it is.
And all we ask is that the boys keep it clean.
Okay.
No bad language.
All right, so if Paul, if you would please put PJ on.
Okay, here he is.
Hey, PJ, buddy.
Hello, Radio God.
Savvy already.
Oh, yeah, he's endeared himself to us already.
PJ, all we're going to ask is that... Oh, and Tracy, would you put Brandon on, please?
Sure.
Let's talk to Brandon also. Brandon?
Yeah.
Hey, buddy.
Hi, Brandon.
Hi.
Hi. Brandon, can you speak up, please? Mom, you know what? You're going to have to hang up.
Okay.
So we can hear Brandon better. Brandon?
Yeah.
Brandon, how you doing today?
Fine.
Now, what we're going to ask...
Oh, boy.
This is not even going to be a fair fight.
I don't like that.
All we're going to ask is that you boys take turns.
Yeah.
That PJ says something about why he wants the Furby... And Brandon says something about what he wants the Furby. And don't be real mean with each other, okay?
Okay.
And the person that wins will go to the second round. And the person that doesn't win will also, we've been told by both the parents and Santa Claus, will have a wonderful Christmas.
Okay?
All right.
So we'll start with Paul. We'll give you 60 seconds.
PJ.
I'm sorry, PJ.
Mm-hmm.
PJ, you'll say something to Brandon, and then Brandon, you say something back to PJ, and we'll give you 60 seconds. Are you ready, boys?
Yeah.
Okay, on your mark, get set, go.
Hey,
ahead, PJ.
Anytime. You're a loser. Hey, you're a loser.
Oh, you're a loser.
That was the, was that you, PJ?
That loser.
Yeah.
All right, Brandon, you go ahead now.
Okay.
This is a great idea. Come on, it's a good bit.
Brandon?
Yes.
What do you want to say to PJ?
Yeah, I thought I heard you say you're...
A big loser.
That's Brandon. Now I guess it's back to PJ.
Back to PJ.
PJ?
All right. Hey, now your mom's so fat when she lays around, she lays around.
That was PJ. All
right, now,
yes.
Some prepared comedy from PJ.
Brandon, we're going to give you a chance to respond to that.
Your dad's so fat, he's fatter than the world.
All right, well, listen, we got to pick a winner now, Mike. That was 60 seconds.
Oh, that's hard to do.
I know it is.
That's really hard to do. I don't know.
I got
to
go with old PJ.
Yeah, I guess so.
Gotta go with PJ.
But Brandon, you did a fantastic job.
Brandon, you were very excellent, son.
And I hope you have a wonderful Christmas.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks, Brandon.
Okay. Bye. Say bye to Tracy, your mom, for us, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. God. You know, with adults, it's like a big kiss is no problem at all. Little kids, you know.
Hey, well.
Okay.
It's a good life lesson, Mike. PJ, hold on, please, son.
Okay.
Good first round. That kid's got some potential. That's a young shock jock in training right there.
PJ, young PJ. I mean, I went right to the prepared comedy, which I thought, you know, the fat mom joke.
Now let's meet our girls.
The ladies are here.
Joining us is Shelby. That's the little girl, and the mom is named Candace. Hello, Candace.
Hi.
Hi, where are you calling from?
Waldorf, Maryland.
Beautiful. You're listening on JFK, right?
Yes.
Okay. And
been a few catfights out in Waldorf.
Your daughter is...
Already.
Your daughter is Shelby?
Yes.
How old is she? Seven?
Seven.
So what grade is she in? Second?
Second.
Second grade. Have you explained the concept to her?
Yes, I did.
Okay, now, this might be a little bit unfair. She's going to be fighting against a 10-year-old girl.
Oh, dear. That's just worlds.
Shelby, you're fighting against a 10-year-old.
All right, now, let's meet the other contender. Her name is Halsey.
Halsey is the little girl?
Yeah, and the dad is Randy. Hey, Randy.
Hey. Hey, Radio God.
Hi, Randy. Where are you calling from, sir?
Silver Springs, Nevada.
Well, we gotta do good.
All right, hold on there, Candace. Where are you calling from, Randy?
Silver Springs, Nevada.
Silver Spring. I didn't know there was a Silver Springs, Nevada.
Yes, there is.
Very good. So you're listening in Reno or Vegas?
Yes, K-Play.
Oh, K-Play, Reno. Beautiful. Good affiliate.
All right.
All right. Let's talk to your daughter, Halsey, who's 10. Hey, Halsey.
Hang on a second. Let me get her for you.
All right.
Hello?
Hi, Halsey.
Hi.
Hi, this is Donna Mike. We want you to say hi to Shelby.
Hi.
Okay.
Hi.
Now, girls?
Yes.
I'm going to ask you to have a little cat fight here.
All right.
Like grown-ups do on Jerry Springer.
Okay.
60 seconds. Don't say anything nasty or anything real bad.
Okay.
You can just tell each other why you think you deserve the Furby and why the other girl doesn't deserve it, okay?
Okay.
And you have to take turns. And Halsey, you'll go first and say something, then Shelby gets to say something.
Okay.
Does that sound fair?
Yes.
All right, then good luck to both of you girls.
All right.
And we'll start with Halsey. Go.
Go ahead, Halsey.
Halsey?
What?
Yeah, you can start now.
You start.
Okay.
You start. Go ahead.
All right, tell you what, let's start with Shelby.
Okay, Shelby, you go first.
We'll let you go first.
I bet you're so bad, your mom doesn't want to buy you anything for Christmas.
Oh, dear.
All right, good start, Shelby. Halsey.
Yeah?
Your turn, Halsey.
Okay. You're so ugly when you go to Taco Bell. Everyone says, run for the border.
Okay, Shelby, back to you, honey.
Your mother sits back, she plays pool with plants.
Yeah, what was that again, Shelby?
Plays pool with what?
The plants.
The plants.
Oh, they're 7 months.
They're kids.
7 and 10. Okay, Halsey.
You're so ugly. Godzilla bought front row tickets to see you playing it.
Shelby.
I bet you pick the boogers out of your nose and eat them.
Oh,
what was that? That was the pick your nose and eat them.
That was the pick it up from the 7-year-old. Yes, and that means...
Oh, boy.
Shelby... You're going to be the winner of this round, I think.
But Halsey, you did a great job,
Good
too.
Job.
Fantastic. And Randy said, your dad said you're going to have a wonderful Christmas.
Yeah, Shelby, you had to win that round because pick them and eat them, too.
Yeah, it's a tradition. You know,
yeah, that's a good
one. She went with the classic,
man. Now, Halsey, you have a Merry Christmas, okay, honey?
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. Now.
Bye.
When we come back.
This is going to be a nice, nice competition.
When we come back, it's going to be Shelby,
the girl,
right, versus PJ, the boy. And you know what? This has worked out good because they're both 7 years old. They're both in second grade.
Good match. I have a lot of, I tell you, I think Shelby came up with an ad lib there. That was, you know, the pick your nose and eat it.
Uh-huh. Pleasantly surprised. When we come back, one of these kids wins a Furby right after this. We've had every possible combination of people fighting for these Furbies over the last 3 weeks.
The Don and Mike Show. Simply listen for the production elements.
Now we have Shelby, age 7.
Yes.
Against PJ.
Yes, the boy and the girl. It's a battle of the little kids.
Age 7. Are both you kids ready?
Yes.
Okay, there's Shelby. PJ, are you ready?
Yes.
All right, kids, now we're going to give you... We're going to give you guys 90 seconds, which is 30 seconds more than we gave you last time, okay?
Okay.
Let's go boy, girl, boy, girl. And actually, we'll go girl, boy. Shelby, we'll start with you.
And they get 90 seconds.
90 seconds, okay?
Same rules apply. Don't say anything nasty.
For a Furby.
Okay.
And we'll start with Shelby. Ready, honey? Go.
Go ahead, Shelby.
I bet your mom's because she kicked God in the face.
Okay, PJ.
Hey, I got you on my consolation list. When I win the Derby, you can come over at my house and smell my fart and my feet.
Smell my fart
and my feet.
Okay, Shelby.
I bet your mom ties candy around your neck so the kids can play with you.
Oh, that's a good one, Shelby. Paul, I'm PJ.
All right, now see... I saw a little girl, that little girl, that was a face and you picking her nose, but I saw you picking your butt.
What was that? Picking the butt.
Oh, picking the butt.
Picking the butt.
Picking the butt. Okay. Shelby. Shelby? Honey? Shelby?
What?
Okay, it's your turn, honey.
I bet your mom thinks that she played pool with the plants.
That was the previous one.
Okay, PJ?
Hey, you want to know something? Well,
kids.
Well.
PJ in the morning.
Well, when your mom was walking down the street, she was kicking a can. I asked her what she's doing, and she said, I'm moving.
I've got Shelby.
I bet you're so ugly. Your mom tries to shoot funny.
Okay, well, that was nice.
That's it.
That's a 7-year-old.
That's it. Yes, that. Let's give our contestants both an incredible round of applause. Aren't they fantastic?
Very, very nice. And now you have put us in the unenviable position of picking only one of you to win the Furby. Shelby, do you want the Furby?
Yes.
Paul, do you want the Furby?
Yes, sir.
PJ wants it. Yes, sir.
I'm sorry. PJ, I'm sorry. Shelby, do you really want the Furby?
Yes.
PJ, do you really want the Furby?
Yes, Radio Gods.
You know what? Screw tomorrow. I will give both of you kids a Furby.
Yeah. You both won a Furby, PJ and Shelby. And now congratulate each other. Shelby, tell PJ congratulations.
Congratulations.
And
PJ, congratulations too.
There you go. All right.
I know I said I would never give in and cave and give away two at once, but
special circumstances today.
You know, they're both pretty good. They cracked me up. They cracked me up more than the adults fighting.
Absolutely.
They really did.
They deserve it. This was tough.
You pick your butt. You pick your nose and eat it.
There you go. They're two fine future shock jocks in training.
Your mom kicking a can. What is she doing?
Moving.
You gotta love that. Okay, now Shelby, you're Furby. Oh, it's a girl's Furby. Your Furby is gray and pink, okay?
Uh-huh.
It says, I will keep amazing you. The more you play with me, the more I do. You've won a Furby. We'll get that to you tomorrow. And PJ, you win the boy's Furby. Your Furby is gray and white. Okay?
Yes. All right, good.
Same deal. The story of Furby. Some Furbies are gray. Others are white. Some Furbies are black as night. Some have tails. Others have manes. But each Furby has its own name. So no two Furbies are are the same.
And PJ and Shelby, you both won Furbies. I'm so happy for both of you.
What? What was that, PJ?
You wanted to say something, PJ?
I wanted to say that congratulations and have a great night and good night, Radio God.
Aren't you a sweet boy?
Merry Christmas.
Same to you. Same to you, PJ. And Shelby? Hey, Shelby, honey? Shelby?
Shelby, are you there?
Yeah.
Are you talking to your mommy?
No.
Who are you talking to, Shelby?
Your dad, Randy?
Huh?
No, Randy was some other kid's daddy, Mike.
Oh, that's right. Sorry.
Shelby's mommy is named Candace.
Candace Bergen.
King of the Candaces. I give up. I can't think of another Candace. Shelby, you have a great Christmas, honey, okay?
All right, you too.
Okay, we'll get that Furby right out to you.
All right.
Okay, beautiful. Thank you, kids.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
There you go.
Hold on a second.
Cute kids.
They
were
all right.
Yeah.
See?
That's great.
That can be nice.
Sure.
Yes, you can.
They're sweet kids.
Yeah.
Sweet kids.
Chicks seem to dig their style.
Okay, that's Shelby and PJ, and they win the Furbies.
Will we meet again?
Hello. Don Mike.
What you're saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice of an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.